following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Corolla Classics is brought to you by LifeLock. Holidays feel like a never-ending to-do list. Shopping online, you can expose your personal info, and not all websites are on the nice list. Get LifeLock identity theft protection and protect yourself. This holiday season, you can miss certain identity threats just by monitoring your credit or your bank statements, and you're going to be looking at a lot of that as you're buying everybody gifts. So LifeLock helps detect a wide range of these identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. And if they detect your information is being used in their network, they send you an alert. It's so nice. And if you become a victim of identity theft, LifeLock can help restore your identity easier than you can on your own. You don't want to deal with that by yourself. Check it out. It's LifeLock, right, Gio?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you feel protected this holiday season. The best sale of the year is happening now. Save it to 35% off your first year at LifeLock.com with promo code Adam. That's 35% off at LifeLock.com. Promo code Adam. Sale ends November 30th.
Hello and welcome to Corolla Classics for Saturday, November 28th, 2020. You know the show goes. We play some great Adam Corolla Show moments. A highlight reel. It's all done right here. My name's Chris Loxamana, executive producer of the Adam Corolla Show, and with me, as always, Corolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Gio, and I hope everyone else is too, because we got a great show lined up. First off, I want to remind everybody about Geico. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's Geico easy.
It's Geico easy. All right. Let's get started with our first clip. We're going to kick it off with a clip from December 2012. This one features Ileana Douglas. Now, she used to come on all the time. She was a great actress in a ton of, like, Scorsese
films. She's a great actor.
Actress.
Some people prefer. You never know which one. So, like, I always want to use actor, not to offend somebody, but some actresses insist upon actress because they want it to be a different. It's a weird. It all makes sense to me. I never want to offend anybody.
How about this? She's an incredible talent. And,
agreed.
And we love having her on the show. This is from 2012 when Adam finds out that Ileana travels with her dog. Uh-oh.
Yeah, she's waiting in the wings to come on the show for a guest spot. And at the top of the show, Adam's ranting about people who bring emotional support animals, not really service dogs per se. The rants have evolved over the years once he learned the difference. It's people who insist upon traveling with their dogs. And it's revealed to him that Ileana does this as he's ranting. So he forces her to come in the studio and then he just quizzes her about it. And then Allison talks about her then boyfriend bringing their dog to the Thanksgiving dinner and how presumptuous that was. Hilarious classic moments. Adam Carolla Show 967. Ileana Douglas, Alison Rose and Brian Bishop, December of 2012. Check it out.
You know how I complain about things and then it starts happening?
Yes.
And this whole, I think the whole tweet world has sped everything up about 1,000 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. Because
sometimes it happens as you're complaining about it.
Yeah. What's going on with passion fruit is completely off the hook because people are sending me now they're sending me pictures they take at stores of passion fruit hair conditioner and passion fruit pies and all the stuff I said didn't exist. Mm-hmm. Now does exist and it's blowing up and it's going insane.
I have to tell you, I was watching our show Facts of Life the other day and Natalie was visiting her boyfriend at an ice cream shop. It was the episode where she felt like she had to be funny all the time and she didn't want to let him in, you know, and so he thought she didn't like her. I'm mm-hmm. sure you know the one by heart. Mm-hmm. Anyway, though, he said, Natalie, try our new flavor, passion fruit.
Wow.
And Daniel and I, because I'm making him watch now, both turned to each other and went, And then someone tweeted me, did you know about this? And I said, not until then. So yeah. Evidently it existed.
Yeah. But it was also a new flavor.
Yeah.
Like it didn't exist.
It was a novelty.
Right.
And in a TV world, when you're writing and someone says, try our new flavor, you can't say chocolate or vanilla or Neapolitan. You have to say something that doesn't exist only in the world of TV.
And to your point, she took a bite and she said, it's working.
Oh, the passion.
Yeah. Your point.
You're making me hot.
No, it was really, it wasn't. It was said in a real jokey way.
Sure. The point is, it didn't exist. Now it's everywhere. And these service fucking dogs, everyone keeps sending me pictures. I am convinced, I don't know what percentage of flights I took that had a dog on the flight 2 years ago. I would just go with 0% because I never remember seeing a dog. Now people tweet me all the time. Here, I'm at the airport. I'm on a flight. I took a flight with two dogs on it. I say 3 years from now, because you have to look at it this way. Everything is getting worse. Like, everything is just going to fucking hell in a handbasket, and the airlines are getting shittier and shittier, and people are caring less about society and how people look at them and what they, and people are getting more and more narcissistic, and we're creating a society that is not judging and giving them more and more room to go out there and just run wild on their narcissistic horse. So everyone is going to start traveling with their dog now because we all want our dogs with us. We all like our dogs. And now that you can get a note saying, I need my dog for anxiety disorder. I had a fucking...
Well, plus, sorry to interrupt, some airlines now are going as far as $50, your dog flies. Now, there's no more, you know, paperwork, there's no more blah, blah, blah. It's companion, you know,
but better, companion. Better yet, and someone's got to look this up, but better yet... somebody was telling me, again, tweeting me, that if you like your dog to fly to Chicago, but if I want my dog to fly to Chicago, but it's not a service dog, it's $300. Mm-hmm. Put him in the cage, put him in the bottom of the vessel, the aircraft. You fly with a service dog, that dog flies for free because that's a service dog. So now I just go get paperwork saying my dog's a service dog. I can go to the same doctor I get my weed from. He can sign a thing. I mean, look, you can tell your fucking doctor you have a bad back, or you can tell him you have anxiety. And they'll just fucking write you a note, and that'll be that. So now everybody's going to fucking fly with their dogs. Which is insane, because we're going to have a dog-free zone. We used to have smoking sections in planes. We're going to have, like, non-canine sections in planes. And I'm seeing these things all over the fucking airport. And just in general, I had at Thanksgiving last week, two or three people brought their dogs with them. And I didn't really think about it much until I was walking out along the back of the house, taking the garbage out the following day and saw dog shit where I never see dog shit. And I did that. You know where your dog shits, like Molly always shits. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is one of the many dogs that was at my house. And then people do people like their dogs. Yeah, I like beating off, but I keep it in the pants until we get through Thanksgiving. Like,
but if it helps with your anxiety, though.
It doesn't hurt. I can tell you that. Small dogs allowed in the cabin for $75 to $125. But if you check them as baggage, it's $175 to $250.
That's traumatic.
Yeah. So, A, you save twice as much. And B, the fucking thing's on your lap. And as I was screaming about last week on O'Reilly, when I'm fucking sitting there in my chair and I have my fucking backpack on my lap and I'm getting out my magazines and my headphones and stuff, and the chick comes by and goes, sir, you need to put it up top for just takeoff. You can stash it up top and then you can come get it after takeoff. But the one bag has your jeans and coat and fucking all that shit in it. But this got the magazines.
It's got
and
the stuff you ballpoint need for
pens and all the shit you need for takeoff.
Mad Libs.
And it's going up top. All right. But now I look to my right and I see the chick who's flying with a service dog and it's sitting on her lap. Why can't my fucking backpack be on my lap?
Or you have a my live purse, which is the size of the dog.
Your fucking purse be on your lap. That's dangerous, but the dog can sit. And it's not like the plane's going to catch on fire and that dog's going to drag you to safety. That dog's going to piss on you, eat your meal, and run to safety. I've seen the future.
I don't understand why you're not allowed to have something on your lap. Like, I don't understand the thinking behind that rule? Do you?
Everything is just one more thing that's flying around this cabin is one more projectile, one more missile, one more thing someone's going to possibly trip over, and it's just one more rule. But then, again, you have a dog sitting on your lap that's as big as the purse and the backpack. Why doesn't that have to fucking go somewhere? But I just realized this is it. It's officially on now. Everyone's going to have one of these fucking dogs. And so it was Thanksgiving, and it was the following day, and I went out, and I saw shit where I didn't see shit before, where Molly never shits. And she travels. Ileana travels with her dogs. Hold on a second. And I realized, oh, yeah, quite a few people who came over for Thanksgiving brought their dogs. And then I was like, what the fuck? And then I thought, what the? I like my dog. I wouldn't bring it to someone's house for Thanksgiving for dinner. You know what I mean? There's food going to be served. And what if they're allergic to dogs, or what if they have a fucking cat, or what if they're and everyone's dog is great for them. And it's great, but I don't want your fucking dog in my house. Why are you bringing your fucking dog to my house on Thanksgiving?
Perhaps it's not germane to the story, but what size dogs were these?
They're always small, which is double-edged sword for me because I love big dogs. If you brought over a big chocolate lab with that big boxy head, you know, it's like, ooh, you know, when the tail shook and the whole body bent in the middle and stuff. I hate little dogs. They're pieces of shit. They're just fucking worthless. I don't care. I know you have and they have relationships with dogs. I don't like chihuahuas. I don't like miniature anything. I want to put them in water balloon launchers and fire them into jet engines and test them that way. My thing is, like, let's put them in air cannons and fire them into jet engines. Let's test the metallurgy that way. Why the poor frozen chicken? Why does the chicken have to give its life when we have so many chihuahuas that we could fire into that fucking thing? So I don't like your little piece of shit of a dog, number one. Number two, did you call and ask me if it was cool to bring your dog to my house? In which case I would have done the, do you have to? And then, what's it say about you that you can't be away from your dog for 2.5 hours? What's up? I fucking leave town every weekend. I leave my fucking dog at home. I like my dog. I miss my dog. The first thing I do when I walk through the door is pet my dog. But I don't bring my dog with me on the fucking airplane over to your house for Thanksgiving. You know why? It's my dog. It's not your dog. You don't have the same feelings about my dog as I do. And I understand that. And again, you're going to someone's house to eat dinner. Do you have to fucking bring your dog? And why wouldn't you give him a heads up? Why wouldn't you give him a...
Yeah, at least so you could set an extra place.
Yes, there's going to be 25 people in there. Out of the 25 people, how many of them will be delighted to see your piece of shit while they're eating?
Probably less than half.
Yes. So A, you should ask, but B, can't leave the house without the fucking dog. And imagine doing this in the 50s or something, just walking through someone's house. That's my dog. What do you mean? You invited me over for dinner. Well, of course I bring my dog with me. I wouldn't even think to tell you. When you invite someone to dinner, you assume they bring their pets. It's an assumption. It's you plus 1.5, right?
I'm bringing my parrot.
Yes. I have a fucking... I want a falcon. You know what? No. I want a pelican. I want the world's angriest pelican that sits in my house and just fucking picks off little dogs. And I'm going to be like, I can't control him. I can't control Gilligan. I can't control him. I've tried. And by the way, have you ever tried to train a pelican? There's
like
not enough
cats.
Not enough anchovies in the world to get Gilligan to stop swooping down on your dogs. Just isn't. Oh, he's in his mouth. Gilligan, spit him out. Spit him out. Oh, shit, he's on the roof.
Do that thing where you squeeze the sides of his beak.
That's right.
You can spit it out.
I'm going to fucking have Gilligan, and I'm going to have a pelican, and he's going to eat every fucking thing that comes to my house that's under 30 pounds. That's my new thing.
See, if I were
someone
newborn.
There. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit, Gilligan, no.
Even though I hear what you're saying, that you can't control him, I would think that you're secretly stuffing tiny dogs into pelican chow.
Then
getting them used to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm taking like stuffed animals and filling them with pelican chow. I'm just saying, people, all right, so something's wrong with you and you need to fly with them because they're seizure alert dogs. Although, as I've said, Dr. Drew, there's two interesting conversations I've had with Dr. Drew. Drew, tell me about secondhand smoke. What? How many people does it kill? Nobody? Nah, I've never heard of it. I mean, it never comes up. I'm a doctor. It's never, no one's ever said this person has died of secondhand. It doesn't exist. And then the other one was, how do these seizure alert dogs work, Dr. Drew? I don't know. I've never heard of it. But you're a doctor. What do? Tell people to take their medication? There's no such thing. Interesting.
Well, he is a love doctor.
That's true. Ileana Douglas travels with her dog. She flies with her dog.
Is it here?
Please tell me it's here.
Oh. Am I right? On the Thanksgiving part, bringing the dog over for Thanksgiving. First off, like the barbecue.
There should definitely be a heads up.
For Thanksgiving.
There should be a heads up because there's all sorts of people who are afraid of dogs or allergic to, or whatever. They have a problem with dogs. Plus, not all dogs get along. How do they know Molly is going to be cool with it? They should pass it by Molly.
What would be the upside of your dog at my house other than you are with your dog?
Yeah, that's it.
And we got beer and turkey. Not enough for you to get out of the fucking condo for 2 hours? You got to have the fucking dog with you. I mean, look, like I said, it's like, I like my race cars. I like my sports center. I like Graham Parker. But I don't go to your house and pop in my mixed cassette and then turn your TV on to, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm at your house. It's Thanksgiving.
Okay,
I'll eat your fucking turkey.
The reason I have this look on my face, my parents brought their dog to our house for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. But it's because Daniel and I asked them to we love that dog. But I'm thinking for the other people at the who were at our house, they might not have realized that, and they might have thought that these people are like, why are they bringing their dog everywhere?
We got to get Ileana in here now. She travels with her dog. Now, I'm going to try to get her to admit this always backfires. It's going to turn
let's
out.
Hear it.
I'll try to get her to admit that she just wants to travel with her dog.
Mm-hmm.
She's epileptic.
Which everybody does. There's no dog that can do, there's no such thing as a seizure dog. Ileana Douglas.
I'm ready to see.
All right.
Oh my God.
That's a cute dog.
Cute.
All right. Do you fly with your dog?
Kind of doodle?
I fly with my dog.
Your hair looks nice, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I like your hair.
Point Paisan. Happy Thanksgiving.
Now, how do you fly with this dog? Put your headphones on, please.
Okay. All right, sir. Is this an interrogation?
Yes.
I used to travel with my other dog. He passed away, and
turbulence or what killed him?
Old age, having an actress as a mommy.
Okay.
And I got this little dog. He's a rescue.
Uh-huh.
I have to travel with him. He doesn't fit in a dog.
Right,
bag.
But why do you have to travel with him?
Because he's an emotional support animal.
This is perfect.
He's got
emotional support animal.
He's got a vest and everything.
I got a hamster all my investing.
He has the vest.
He's got a vest.
Do they have to have the vest?
Yeah. Now you know what's interesting when you go through this whole thing with the airplane. They even allow emotional support snakes. I am not kidding.
Do they wear a vest too?
I don't know. Mm. They say the snakes are a little iffy, but here's the other great thing is they can't, because we're in this new politically correct society.
Sure.
You can't deny.
If you get it registered, emotional support snake, that would give someone else anxiety.
I get that could be true, but I've got issues and needs, and if I don't travel with my dog,
but don't we all have issues and needs?
Yes, but I have to travel with the dog. I have to travel. With
but
dog.
If you couldn't travel with your dog, you would still just travel like you used to do without your dog.
I'll tell you something. I didn't travel with my dog this time because I went home Thanksgiving. Uh-huh. Here's what happened: a dog sitter stayed at my house.
Yeah.
Mysteriously flushed something down the toilet, $1,200 worth of damage later.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I brought and then here's, you know you're in L.A. when the plumber comes over and he actually gave me a DVD of my camera. He's hit the sneak camera.
I watched the snake go down on a monitor into the pipes.
They he made me come out as if it were like his finest work. And then he actually gave me the DVD.
Hans Zimmer scored this.
Yeah. I said, great, I'm doing Adam Carolla. I don't want to accidentally put this up instead of
Now
my
you can
TV
see
show.
We're just going by the ball cock valve here. If you watch closely, watch the finesse in this turn as I navigate. Now, this This is
so that's why I needed to travel with a dog. I wish I had traveled with him.
Mm-hmm.
I had the work. I had a did not have a good time.
All right,
time
but now, week. But now you can have.
Yeah.
Hold on, turn the music up because there's this move here where I get past the trap. I get past the trap. I navigate the trap, and now we're in the main line, and I can see daylight. Okay.
I've got his work. I brought it with me.
He's got his headshot, his resume, does English and Cockney.
He wrote on it. It's got all his little credits and everything.
So your dog. Now, how do you get the note from your doctor?
Okay, here is the easy part. It's not fake. You do have to go to a psychiatrist and say.
And just declare that you're a mess.
Yeah. And you know what's so funny? It's like all my friends were like, the fact that I was willing.
Do you go to a psychiatrist or your psychiatrist?
No, I went to a – I don't have a psychiatrist.
Okay.
I don't
– I would argue that's an argument for not being as messed up as maybe it could be.
That's what my friends are all like. I get the letter back from the psychiatrist, and which goes out to all the airlines. And
do you have to go in and see them?
No, I talked to her on the phone.
This is such a scam.
She could hear the anxiety. Needs and anxiety over the phone.
So they just charge you for like a consultation?
No. This is a very, very long story.
I'm all
true story.
Fucking ears.
Many years ago, I had my dog and I was traveling on an Amtrak train and got in an altercation with the person. Because they said I'd brought the dog on, which she knew I had the dog. Very long story.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she made me stand in the vestibule area, mm-hmm. the area in between, mm-hmm. which is where it says there's a big sign. You're not supposed to stand there because it's
right.
dangerous. And I ended up falling and hurting myself because I had a panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
And
I want you driving my kids to school every morning.
Wait, but your dog didn't help you?
He was in a bag. He had to be in a bag. Mm-hmm. And so because of that mm-hmm. traumatic incident,
uh-huh.
I could have a post-traumatic incident.
Right. So you can
so
call.
I need to travel with my dog.
You one
or my snake.
One could call a psychiatrist and describe
yes.
symptoms mm-hmm. over the phone.
No, she certainly could have turned me down, but she not, the only part that was funny that later my friends thought was funny is like not only did she turn me down, she wrote a letter basically saying I was insane.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that, like, this is going to be really mortifying, mm-hmm. you know, flying, cuz like they're all going to look at me and go,
right.
"Oh my god, she's a celebrity, she's not for mine." But instead, I really enjoyed it because all of a sudden, everyone was very nice to me. Like the stewardess was like, "Would you like another cup of coffee?" Like they're so
or
afraid.
A hat with a propeller on it.
He's like, "Do you like traveling with your doggy?" Like I kind of enjoyed being crazy.
When we land, would you like a wheelchair and a giant butterfly net and a man to chase you with it?
Instead of being embarrassing, I thought, I wish I had a letter for like to give to my parents or
sure.
prospective boyfriends. Like sure. Ileana could have.
Landlords, everybody.
Yeah. Just
so now kind. Now when you get this paperwork, do
yes.
they give you animals to check off? Because you can fly with an alligator, but there are other animals.
You can have a snake.
I saw someone tweeted me a picture of a miniature pony.
No.
Oh.
And I'm convinced.
That's Photoshop.
I'm convinced that I could
Wait,
get
oh,
Dr. Drew to let me
yes.
fly with a goat.
I think you could.
I think I could have a service. I know I could have a service goat.
I know you could.
Yeah. Time's a wasting.
Because mm-hmm. the thing is, we're in this new politically correct society.
Yeah.
So, if you need one,
that goes to the airlines.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the airlines.
No, each airline you fly, and
right.
some are stricter than others.
Uh-huh. And then they do the paperwork.
Yes.
And then what are the rules? Does the dog need a vest that says Mama's Nuts, or how does it work?
With
an arrow
crazy.
Pointing up?
He's got the little vest, which he loves to wear. He's an emotional support animal.
Right.
And you know what's so funny? Another thing that happened was on the plane. There's this woman that's really – she goes, "You're not supposed to travel with that dog." And I said, "He's an emotional support animal." And her whole face shifted and she goes, oh, I'm
Really?
She goes, I'm terribly sorry. How wonderful for you. So I just like that people are nice to me because they think I'm nuts. I think right. It's great.
I'm more convinced that than ever that I need this.
You do need it.
Yeah.
People are so nice to you.
I'm one dog away from bringing a dog on the plane.
People, the minute there's a whole, you know, when you're traveling with a pet, people like, you hate us.
Well, no.
But when it's an emotional support animal.
Oh, he still hates you.
No, I don't. I just feel like you're imposing your dog on my life. That's what I feel like. And I feel like we have enough booze and enough pills and enough stuff that'll just knock you out so you never have to think about it again.
We're in this new society that shouldn't we be able to do whatever we want to do?
Well, let's – first off, I feel like some of these flights are 6 hours. Like what happens when the dog's got to do the number two, you know? Has that ever happened on a flight?
No. He just sleeps.
How can there be a dog – how can a dog make it essentially all the way through the airport and then onto a six-hour flight with no shitting whatsoever?
I think
that's a pretty good run for most dogs.
They evacuate beforehand and then you don't give them any
food, you don't
right?
feed him beforehand.
Still, there has to be countless flights where dogs took a dump on the
Probably.
Flight.
I've never seen
I haven't either, but you do the math. There's thousands of flights a day. There's now thousands of dogs in the air. As we speak, there's probably 10,000 dogs in the air right now, and five of them have to be shitting. Just do the math. You can't get from here to Australia without a dog taking a shit, especially some of those long ones. But then what about the dog allergies? What about the people that have allergies to the dog dander and all that kind of stuff? And they always talk about the recirculated air. I was on a plane where the two service dogs got into it.
Really?
Yeah, there was a first class dog, and the first class dog was sitting there on the lap of the chick, and it was a coach dog going in the back, and I was like, keep walking, bitch, and enjoy your fucking $4 Fresca, and then they started scrapping. They scrapped at my feet.
Wow. Well, if it were up to me, if there was an airplane where people could travel with their dogs, I'd be thrilled. I'd fly it all the time. I mean,
so you do. All right. So you travel. Now, also, that's a picture of the dog, and that's the picture of the dog on the lap of the woman.
He's got the little vest.
She had the anxiety problem, too, except for she fell asleep immediately when the dog on her lap.
I love it. And I think it's great.
If I had my dog Molly on my lap, I would enjoy my flight more as well. And this is a picture of the woman who had the seizure alert dog. But once you have emotional support dogs, then there is no official reason why you can't fly with a dog. There's no doctor there's no psychiatrist that would argue with you if you said, look, I have anxiety or I need some support or I don't feel good or I feel like I might come unhinged.
Well, we have to admit that flying is really stressful. And I have to say that when I travel with a dog, the fact that I get through the line quicker is
luck. You get through the line quicker?
Oh,
what goes on?
They just move you through like really, really
because
quickly.
Because you're fragile?
Yeah, because you're fragile and you could have a breakdown at any minute.
Sometimes I wonder, why ever try to appear competent?
I said it once. I'll say it 1,000 times. You announce to the world that you have a strong back and you drive a pickup truck and all you'll do is help everyone move for free for the rest of your life every fucking weekend and be punished. You should announce to the world like my dad did many years ago, I'm wildly incompetent. Oh, and broke. And your phone will never ring and no one will ever ask you for a fucking thing. There'll be none of that. Can you help me out with the down payment to my first or geez, college is a little tight and I can't afford, you know, there'll be no borrowing of money, no asking to help move. I'll add a deck on and I'll do it alone. It'll be the world's saddest Budweiser commercial.
Well.
All right. Does the dog have to go through the scanner?
Yes. I mean, not on the x-ray.
Not on the belt.
No, but he has to walk through, and they always check me, too.
Sure.
But he stands there. He just looks.
New face of Al-Qaeda.
Looks at
them. Wow. Wow. It's so great. And by the way.
The new snout of Al-Qaeda.
There's never a rant that I can go on where our next guest doesn't either have it or do it or whatever it. But yeah. I and now you can't go anywhere. You just hang out with us. I love your candor.
And that was Ileana Douglas letting her know that she travels with her dog.
Adam commended her for her candor and coming in studio and revealing all those details.
Yeah.
And she did come on the show many times after this, so this was not her most recent visit.
I was on a couple of planes with Adam over the weekend. We did see a lot of dogs. And, yeah, Adam was just going nuts. But speaking,
I have so much information for him about that whole process. I now know all the details specifically.
He was Adam was
I
so
could tell him so much.
Adam, there was a black lab that looked like a. He looked like Phil, maybe just a little bit smaller, and he had that red service dog vest. And Adam was just watching because the guy looked very able bodied, didn't look handicapped at all, but he had a service dog. And Adam just looks at me and goes, "What service is that dog providing?" And we couldn't figure it out. The guy just walks on the plane, and then they get on. We get to Palm Beach. He gets off the plane, just takes the vest off his dog, and walks and gets picked up by his buddy. And it puts the vest like in his tote bag, and that was it. And this dog was like kind of jumping on people, so I mean, not very well trained. And Adam, you could just see him stewing.
That guy probably thinks he's a really smart guy. He's like, "Oh, I got over one. I'm so smart." It's like, "Oh, you're the worst person alive."
Yeah, it was pretty rough. But speaking of support animals, check out I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It makes a great gift. It's Adam's newest book. It's available now. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, AdamCroll.com. It's a very easy read, and it's hilarious.
Audio copy has some bonus stuff as well. You always got to do both with Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
You basically get two books every time he puts out a book.
Completely true. All right, before we get going with this next clip, I want to remind everybody about Tommy John, because now we got to fight cold with Cozy in our Tommy John underwear, loungewear, pajamas, and bras. That's right, they make stuff for women too. Shop, they got a great sale going on right now. And Gio loves his Tommy John. You're wearing it right now, aren't you?
Lounge pants, entire recording session, most comfortable things you can wear. Everything on Tommy John is great. Buy yourself something, buy a gift for somebody else, whatever you want to do. It's the best you can possibly do in underwear. Replace everything you got. It's all garbage and compared to Tommy John.
Yeah, and there's no risk for even trying it. They got the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. But
I bet nobody has ever sent them back their underwear or asked for a refund. And if they have, they probably just wanted the money, because the stuff is so flawless. I can't imagine you being unhappy with it. Even, you know, like, "Oh, I spent this much money on it. I'm so upset about the underwear." It's like, "Nah, it's so comfortable. It's worth every dime."
Exactly. It's flawless. And yeah, it'll be the best thing you put on. So they got a sale going on right now. All you got to do, and if you want to make sure your gift's arrived by the holidays, check it out. Go to TommyJohn.com/classics. Get 20% off site-wide. That's 20% off. For a limited time only at TommyJohn.com/classics. TommyJohn.com/classics. See site for details. All right, let's get going with another clip. This one is from 2016 featuring Mary Roach.
Mary Roach writes these really insightful, deep books about various professions, and she's been on many podcasts over the years. This is her big interview on the Adam Carolla Show from Adam Carolla Show 1859, July of 2016. Mary Roach, Vinny Tortorich, Gina Grant, Brian Bishop. No Vinny in this portion, just Mary, Gina, and Brian. It's a great interview. Many people may have not heard this one. Check it out.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
I was at the library the other day, and they rent movies, and I saw they had Roadhog, and I went to go rent it. And they're all like, "You can't rent that. You have too many books out. They're overdue, and you got fines on them." I was like, "Whatever." So I stole it. And I figured that's kind of a win-win for you, because, I mean, they got to buy another copy of it, and I get to watch it. So you get a little jingle in your pocket, and I get a little laugh.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Roadhard's a movie I made a year and a half ago. Mary Roach.
That logic was sound.
Grunt, Curious Science of Humans at War. Gina is all over the cadaver book,
yes,
right?
It was amazing.
How did this whole... They've done seven so far in 13 years. Good to see you, Mary.
Hey, good to see you.
Good to see you. So, tell us how you embarked on this journey of this series of books.
Oh, the series? The whole thing? Not the
We'll get to it.
Yeah, yeah. No, the... I used to write this column for Salon.com. Remember when Salon.com was like, "It's an internet magazine. Wow.
Yeah.
Cool." And people would read it. And I used to write a column. So an agent contacted me and said, "Well, you should, what about books?" And I'm like,
Bob Dylan's your agent? So he brought it up said it's a good idea.
And because it was Salon.com, you could look at the hit rate. And he's like, "What got the highest hit rates of all your columns?" And it was two cadaver-related columns.
What did you get from the cadaver book, Gina Grand?
Well, to be honest, I haven't read it in over a decade because I think it came out in 2003, maybe. Uh-huh. But the very fact that there was something that mixed the very morbid and macabre with science and something I could actually learn, I thought it was actually going to be kind of a scary book to read. It's not. It's awesome.
It's kind of funny.
It's
funny book.
There's some levity.
Yeah.
We played a snippet from the Curious Science of Humans of War. It was all about the turkey vultures and the military.
Bird strike.
Yeah.
Talking to the right guy.
We got a Sully movie coming out, a Captain Sully movie coming out pretty soon. All about
that was a bird strike, wasn't it?
Bird strike. Yeah. Sorry. Grunt, the Curious Science of Humans of War. So why Grunt?
Because grunt,
the Marine?
Grunt Marine, low-level infantry. Because the guys who have the big pack and the heat and the hard work.
Boots on the ground
exactly,
guy. Not the intelligence or
chairborne ranger.
And what else do we cover? I mean, what do we learn?
We got all the really unpleasant business of combat. You got extreme heat and sweat. You got flies and but flies good and bad, because there's also maggot therapy, which originated in World War I.
Really?
Yeah, maggots are, you put them in a wound and they eat the dead flesh and they leave the life and it promotes healing.
They're
like heroic. They're not your typical military hero, the maggot. So.
No, they're not.
No, I always think, God, when you see those poor guys in the Middle East and you see those huge spiders and
camel spiders.
It's 123 degrees and all that kind of stuff.
Like, and you just, body armor.
And they're wearing body armor.
Yeah. No,
and
horrible.
You just think, oh, God. And then there's Vietnam, where you're like the opposite, too lush, too tropical, too much swamp.
It's the humidity.
Yeah, to me, I'd go like World War II, Normandy, but well after everyone has established a beachhead, you know what I mean?
I'm in the Aleutians. It's not hot, no humidity. Mm. Just give me a good pair of boots.
Which
those guys didn't have, unfortunately.
Yeah, they get a lot of rot down there.
A lot of trench foot.
Stuff.
Yeah.
So how do you pick the topic? Is it based on the articles?
No, this one I was reporting on it was this intense, insane chili pepper eating contest in India, the arguably hottest chili pepper in the world. There's this unbelievable scene where these guys, and it's kind of sad because they're competing for like what amounts to $100 to eat the most number of this chili pepper. And, it's just, you know, some of them get taken away in an ambulance. And anyway, the Indian Defense Ministry weaponized this chili, I found out when I was reporting. So I'm like, I need to go report on that. I went to the lab where they did the weaponizing of the, it just made a powder, kind of a pepper bomb.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so while I was there, I was just looking around. You know, they were working on some leech repellent. And I'm like, that's, I don't know, military science. It just struck me that might be kind of roachable.
It is. It's interesting if you ever watch those, like, military channels, and they always do that, Friday night, Hitler's secrets, and they'll show like a spaceship with a swastika on, like Hitler was working on going to the moon. He was going to bomb us from the moon. And the Japanese had all kinds of crazy, crazy stuff. Like, they did. They thought they were going to set the Northwest on fire, which
really?
Is interesting. But- yeah, they tried. The whole deal was they were looking at maps or whatever, and they went like, look at all this forest. It's all forest, especially back then, you know? And so they went, we can get these bombs, these incendiary bombs, like up into the jet stream. They'll go over and they'll start coming down over Seattle, and they'll light the whole place on fire. And those guys would be dealing with a national forest fire, like the whole, half their country will be on fire and they'll be fighting the fires the whole time, and, you know, we'll win the war or whatever. And all they did was like land somewhere, you know, outside of Portland or something. Some Cub Scout kids were like camping or hiking or something, and it blew up one of the kids.
Oh my God.
But the U.S. did that. Did you hear about the bat incendiary plan? They were going to put little bombs, little fire bombs on the backs of those bats that would every night, they'd roost under the eaves on the Japanese homes. And so the bats would come in, and I don't know how they were going to set them off. It didn't work. It was a complete failure. But this was a whole plan. They were going to get the bats, and they like attached the little bomb, and they were supposed to, you know, but because they were very flammable.
Yeah, they always have they've done that stuff with dolphins. They've done a lot of stuff with dolphins. Mm-hmm. That they've actually done, right?
Sonar related?
Like going out and sweeping mines or something, going deep and stuff, getting stuff?
Yeah, there was a project that was classified. I actually I got it declassified after the book came out, so it's not in the book, but it's called Project Headgear. And they took these shark researchers, and they're like, what if we could put a bomb on the back of the shark? And so they had the little harness for the bomb, and then they had a compass device so that you could have the orientation of the shark, and then they put on the right and left side of the shark like an electrical stimulation thing that you could remotely control, so it'd be like bzz, on one side the shark would go the other way, and they could steer the shark.
Remote control sharks?
Yeah, remote control shark. Unfortunately, the sharks, when they naturally swim, they go back and forth a lot and didn't work, and the sharks would just, after like 20 minutes, they were like, screw this, and they just drop to the bottom. Like, I quit. So
right.
They would go like less than half a mile. So they wanted it for like long distance, bring in a bomb underneath the ship, whatever. But they spent 2 years on that project.
There was a movie from like 1974 or something called like Day of the Dolphin or something.
Yeah.
And it was a movie about the military Navy using the dolphins for whatever.
George C. Scott, right?
Yeah, George C. Scott. A lot of range, man. Yeah. That hardcore. So what is the craziest? We've already heard a few pretty crazy ones, but what is? Hey, but you know, the whole thing about these guys is you hear about these stories and go, oh, that's crazy. But I don't know. A lot of stuff's crazy, and then it ends up working.
A lot of people thought security crows were crazy.
That's right. That's right.
Security crows.
Oh, he's really into it.
That's my idea.
I heard of geese. I was attacked by a guard goose.
You were?
Seriously, yeah. In London, I walked down this lawn, like, oh, what's down here? This just thing comes at me, like, hissing and biting. Yeah. It was scared the crap out of me.
There was a place up on Ventura Boulevard out here in, like, Studio City that had a guard turkey.
See?
Well, you got to run. When a turkey or a goose or anything comes at you,
you're not running at them. You're running away.
No, you got to go the other way. They scare you.
Because they're hissing.
And they're mean.
And they've got teeth or serrations or something.
They got a beak, first of all. I don't want to find out after that.
Yeah,
exactly. Do you want to know what's in that beak?
So a couple of the most bizarre things that you may have learned.
Oh, yeah. There was a guy who, in the Spanish-American War, and it's a good idea, actually, but there's a lot of resistance. Had this idea that, because blood was scarce and they didn't have, now they like cache blood. They have, blood supplies sort of in strategic places. It's classified because somebody could come and blow up the blood and then you're screwed.
Right.
So, but they had, there was this guy, Norman Bethune, who had this idea. It's like, okay, we've got somebody's just been killed. You got somebody who needs blood. What if we take the blood out of the dead body, drain them, put it in the person who needs it? And they did some of that. But they don't do it anymore. I mean, it's like typing. You gotta type the blood. It's kind of a last ditch.
But is it also because people think, like I said, like we're just watching 60 Minutes. They're talking about trying to get the lethal cocktail together to put people to death in the prisons, and they're screwing it up, and people are breathing 2 hours into the mess. And the guy in the court just said, one of the Supreme Court-y guys, not on the Supreme Court, but some justice or whatever from, I don't know where it was, Arizona or something, just said, like, get the guillotine out. And everyone's like, what? And he's like, well, it's fast. It's effective. Why not? It's cheap.
Yeah,
it works every time.
They're
like, no. And so it's the good thing about being an atheist is you get to go, are we going to kill this guy? Yes. We decided as a society we're going to kill this guy? Yes. Okay, what's the cheapest, most fastest, most
efficient.
Effective way to kill himself?
Yeah.
Kill this guy. Guillotine? Okay, that's what we're going with.
Yeah. Yeah. Although they had those studies. This was in Stiff. You remember they had the guillotine guy, the head chopper. There were these reports that for those few seconds, because there's still a blood supply for a couple seconds, so you would have an awareness.
Now you've got my attention.
Yeah. You would have an awareness of like, oh, there's my body. I'm not attached. Then you're dead.
Have they ever proven that? Because I've done a lot of amateur research into decapitations. I'm weirdly obsessed with these, and there is a lot.
Brian, don't incriminate yourself.
There's a lot of anecdotal evidence.
There's that guy. There was this guy, Jean-Baptiste Vincent Laborde, the guy with like four names that and it was like, this is the days of like horse and wagon. He had this sort of like mobile lab, mm-hmm. and he'd go to the place where they were, they go to the execution, he'd take the head, because he would bring him back to his lab, but he's like, shit, it's too late,
right?
It's been 20 minutes, I've been in traffic in Paris. So he put them in the back of his whatever, a brome or whatever you called the thing that the horses drew, and he was trying to do, and he'd put electrodes in, of course that would make the face twitch, which that doesn't mean they're alive. But
well, it's like they say with a chicken with its head cut off.
Exactly.
Isn't necessarily alive, but everything's still kind of working itself
out.
Right.
But there was, and I don't know if there is a paper where they supposedly, they told the guy, like, when, after your head is cut off, look at me and do the signal. Mm. And supposedly, He did.
There you go.
You know.
Like blink twice or something like that.
Yeah, right, because he couldn't scream because your vocal cords. Exactly.
Right. I'm back to firing squad then. But either way, it's going to work.
Yeah, Guillotine, you're alive for a couple seconds.
Yeah, that was my conclusion. They did it with it, and they did some animal stuff too. Anyway, you're not alone in your obsession.
I don't feel like I'd be confused, though. Like if I spent like 4 years on death row, and then they walked me out to the guillotine, and then I was staring at a wicker basket from really close up.
All of a sudden, you're staring at the sky.
I wouldn't be like, where are we, Maui? What's happened? Like, no, I would remember the walk out to the guillotine and go, yep, it's about right.
Makes sense.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you're staring at the sky and you can't move your head.
That's like, right.
Oh, that's what I expected.
That would be it. Yep, it's a turkey vulture crapping on me and I can't do anything. I'm telling my hands to move, but I would know that what was happening has happened.
You'd be trying to complain, but nothing would be coming out.
The wicker is a giveaway. Mm-hmm. The close up.
Yeah, that close. You don't get that close to wicker. Your ass gets that close to wicker, but your nose never gets that close to wicker unless you've really been drinking by that pool. All right. Shall we do fascinating stuff, Mary Roach? And the book is available as we speak on Amazon. Grunt, you can go check it out and bookmark us and click through us and spread some love around and check out some of our other work as well. All right. Shall we do a little news, Gina Grad?
Let's do it.
Mary, hang out. Say what you like.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Showbiz, Congress, tech news, sports news, world news. Give me news with Gina Grad. Weird shit out of Florida. Sex surveys, Obama. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
So I know we're all sick of hearing about Pokemon Go, but these stories won't go away.
Ugh.
So Pokemon Go is sending players into all sorts of inappropriate places and that they're having to be shooed out. So here's a couple of the places they're ending up. There have been many reports of gamers trying to catch Pokemon at the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., as well as the 9/11 Memorial in New York and at Arlington National Cemetery. Staffers had told gamers that this is hallowed ground and to knock it off with the Pokemon while they're there.
How does one plant? How does a Pokemon Go get there?
I'm so glad I don't know this answer, Gary.
But the question is...
You know, they put these little beacons in, because remember we talked about that with the kids luring the other kids to rob them with the Pokemon beacons?
So some of it's random, and some of it's based on other users leaving like beacons or whatever. But when you sign into the game, it basically maps everywhere around your house, and then it'll like tell you like, oh, like in the park across the street from your house, or like at the place around the corner. Like, I guess I was listening to something today where they said that every church is a place. Like, it's called a gym, and you have to go there and be, like, near a church to interact with other players, and a bunch of churches are getting really pissed off because they have all these teenagers sitting outside.
I don't blame them. I get a lot of cemeteries, too. So, meanwhile, the other one, the latest
one... Whoever the Nazi war criminal that dreamt up Pokemon came up with this idea, didn't they have to know this was going to happen? I mean... This Go version of it. I mean, they had to know that everyone was going to do this all the...
Gary, maybe you missed the original question. How does a Pokemon get planted?
Can I leave beacons behind? Can I put one in your house? Yes, you can leave beacons behind or randomly puts them down.
Right.
Put
or Nintendo just populates them.
This just sounds like geocaching.
It is geocaching, basically. Yes, exactly. For the smarties, it's called geocaching.
But they're already starting to monetize it, and they're going to sell this to like businesses. So in order to get this rare Pokemon, you have to go to and eat at like the Rainforest Cafe or whatever.
I thought it would be the opposite. Like, in order to not have your business involved, you have to pay us off.
Opt out.
Yeah,
should be.
Yeah. So the latest one is the Woodlawn Cemetery, where Rosa Parks is buried. That's drawn players into the cemetery to hunt down these little characters. They've been disruptive during funerals. They're trampling all over her burial site.
Well, she's all the way in the back, so you got to walk over all those graves to get there. It's really disrespectful. Yeah,
agreed.
I feel this way about many things that are going on in our society, but I felt this way my whole life. I've always said I used to look at kids looking at baseball cards or even comic books and go, "What the fuck are you doing?" And they go, "We're trading baseball cards, or we're looking at this Spider-Man as Aquaman's coming out." And I'd go, "Like the sun's shining, let's go outside and fuck some shit up. Like let's go play ditch, let's go do something. Let's ring people's doorbells and then run. Like, let's do something. Let's throw something at something. There's cars being driven. We can throw dirt clods at them. There's a walnut tree and I got a wrist rocket.
We're wasting our time, people.
We're wasting our time.
Get the slingshot, for God's sake.
I had a wrist rocket and a walnut tree, and it was the greatest thing ever.
BB gun.
The greatest part about the wrist rocket and the walnut tree is I would go straight up in front of my house, in front of the street, and I put the walnut, the green walnut, I put it up in the air about 500 feet, and in that time it was going up, you could just go ditch, and then just go ran. You'd have to wait for a car that was at the end of the street. See, it was too easy. You can't just fire a wrist rocket with a green walnut at a Pontiac. That's not fair.
Any idiot can do that.
Right.
That's hunting, like, caribou from a helicopter. That's no fun. We ain't Sarah Palin over here. Yeah. You'd see the car turn the corner and start coming down the side street. And if you timed it right and pulled it, fired it back and landed it in the middle of the street, you could have time to run around and get behind something, get out of sight, watch and see just how far. Probably miss the car almost every time, but to see how far the green wall, that's what kids should be doing.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the argument. People are going, well, you know, they sit around on the couch and now they're up and walking.
Now they're wandering aimlessly.
Into
gay bars. Exactly. This is awesome. Wait, my son's all over this. So is his friends. It's weird, but I don't know. Again, it's like, yes.
This is a weird way around Chris Hansen and Daylight NBC.
I
didn't approach the kid.
Well, that's going to be, that's the next one. They've already had the robberies. Now it's going to be the predators putting beacons in the park.
Well, I don't like to say this, but my sending over the small Domino's plain pizza and waiting to see who answered the
doors. It's an analog version. Yeah.
It is. It's an old school version of child rape, but it's still, I'm a sort of, I'm old school that way. Like, I like it. Yeah. I like to know it works. It's like a guy likes a wristwatch, he whines or something. He doesn't want some chip or some battery going bad, you know. He likes to control it. That's the way I feel.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Charlie Sheen's out of control personal life may have landed him in even more hot water, this time with the IRS. Agents are looking into whether he tried to use hookers as a tax deduction. According to Radar Online.
That's legitimate for that guy.
Okay. The feds have
already. Stress relief. He needs it.
Right.
Part of his character.
The feds have already raided the offices of Charlie's accountants and are examining his tax returns, which show millions of dollars listed for, quote, friendly entertainment.
Wow.
That allegedly was Sheen's shorthand for payments to sex workers, normally not considered a legal deduction. A source says, quote, Charlie is being audited and could owe as much as $7 million in taxes. The IRS wants to know if, quote, friendly entertainment was a legitimate business expense and whether the hookers and porn stars paid taxes on their earnings from him.
Oh, this could be a whole series of dominoes.
You don't want to tug on this thread.
They didn't do a 1099.
Thank you. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Fuck
no
the
independent
government.
Contractor.
The government are the fucking rapists and the pimps in this equation. Yeah. My whole thing is I'm very philosophical about it. I got a ledger. You're either on one side of it or on the other. I figure Charlie Sheen, just one junkie sex addict, is probably he's probably made $100 million easily.
Sure.
In his career, maybe $200 million. And we are, as a society, as the United States and especially California, we gotta be 55 million, maybe 80 million to the good with Charlie Sheen.
Mm-hmm.
He's just one dude. He's just walking around. He doesn't have two garbage men. He doesn't have extra cops. He doesn't have anything. He can't get to the airport any faster than we can get there. And when he does, he has to get in the same fucking security line that we do. So we're good with him. I don't feel like he owes the government $7 million. I feel like my mom owes the government money because she's been taken to fucking welfare her whole life and never had a job. So, and everyone goes, what? You don't think it's right? No. He's bought some goodwill.
Yeah.
If he's paid, I'll put him, let's do this. Can we have a $50 million club where if you as an individual, not, you know, you, your business and all your employees, but just you, if you're in 50 million plus worth of taxes, whatever your age is or whatever you do, I will give you a little leeway.
You can write off a couple hookers.
I'm not going to, if it turns out we owe you seven or you owe us seven, no jail, no penalty, no taxes. And a matter of fact, just knock it off. Now you've paid in 43. And everyone is like, oh, I got a big problem with this. Well, go find Vinny's fucking teacher parents. How much you paid, bitches? Can you combined over your lifetime get to $1 million? Then shut the fuck up. because I don't give a shit. I really don't. It's like everyone makes this big deal, like, oh, this is, well, this is a problem. You know, no, it's not. It's everybody is either on this side or on that side. And the people who are doing all the fucking paying, we should kiss their ass a little. I'm all for Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen has employed a lot of people. Some, you know, pimps and drug dealers, sure. But I mean, lots of producers, lots of writers, lots of makeup and hair, lots of.
There's a lot of crossover there.
Well,
there's
a lot of there. That's true.
And
that's
we're true. We're conditioned to go, oh, no, don't do that, Charlie.
Not me. Right. Anyone who's an earner is in. Anyone who's a sucker is out.
Right.
And I'm not going to confuse the two, ever. And our government, we should have plateaus. So have $1 million club, have a $5 million club, whatever it is. You get something for that, or at least when you get caught with your hand in the cookie jar, they'll just look the other way. Because as far as I can tell, I don't know, like Emilio Estevez has done pretty well for himself, but he's got to be in the $8 to $10 million club, and Charlie's in the $70 million club. So, no. I mean, that anger management thing was like 100 episodes and... You know, millions and millions of dollars contract and million. Yeah, I mean, he's made
a lot of money.
Over, I mean, if he's made
100 million sounds like a good.
That seems good. I think that's light. I think Dawson knows the Sheens pretty well.
Yeah, I know the Sheens. Isn't there upwards of like 30, 40 million he got paid per year at the end of Two and a Half Men?
It's possible.
Maybe not that much, but close to it. And we got to figure out what Charlie's.
Was getting $2 million an episode at the end, and I think that show was doing 22 episode seasons.
All right, so that's 44.
Right, and then I believe that his deal for anger management was $150 million for 100 episodes.
Something insane. All right, he's at $300 million, maybe 250. So he's at 250. If he, Gary says, Gary, what's your estimate, sir?
I'm saying probably more.
Mm-hmm. I would double that. I mean, he had a very successful career for decades leading up to.
Well, Gary was telling me just yesterday after the show that he did a powerful arc in Pacific Blue.
Oh.
It was a 3-episode arc. No, so
Gary could never forget that.
I was trying to tell. I was trying to talk about bookings. He just kept going back.
Back to origin story for Charlie Sheen's character. It was very detailed.
Yeah.
So, all right. I'm lowballing. He made $300 million. Okay. That's his gross. Let's just say I'm going to lowball again. Let's just say he paid 20% of that.
More, I'm sure.
Oh, of course it's more. He lives in California. I'm just going insanely low. Like he wrote off all the whores and all that. All right, so he paid an ungodly low amount, which is 20, which he never would pay. I mean, he's got to pay higher than that. But let's say he hid stuff or whatever. Okay, there's $60 million. Good. He's fine. We don't need to go after him.
Yeah. He's okay. In the 50 million club.
He's in the 50 million club. I like that world. I don't, we should all aspire to it.
I'd like to be in that world.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, writing in the Huffington Post, actress Jennifer Aniston has declared, quote, "For the record, I am not pregnant. What I am is fed up." Did you see this?
Mm-mm.
This came out just yesterday.
She had a baby bump.
Say, she's what I am is fed.
Fed, yeah. Right. She went on for several paragraphs. She did an op-ed for them because apparently she's not on social media, so she's needed to get this out. She went on several paragraphs to complain how the tabloids dissect celebrities. Jennifer wants to put a stop to, quote, "this notion that women are somehow incomplete, unsuccessful or unhappy if they're not married with children." Jennifer aimed her anger at society's absurd and disturbing objectification of women. She said, "The way I'm portrayed by the media is simply a reflection of how we see and portray women in general, measured against some warped standard of beauty." But the interesting,
wait,
I guess
who's got the warped standard of beauty?
The rest of us.
Oh.
The society. The media, everyone but her. But here's the kind of hinky part. 4 months ago, Jen was on the cover of People magazine where she was proclaimed to be the most beautiful woman in the world, which some are calling a little hypocritical, saying, you know, don't judge me by how I look, yet I'll also do this cover for you.
She does. I was just watching thinking, God, like you see her pop up in those Aveeno, you know, cream ads or whatever. And I just think as a comedian, I'm always jealous of people that don't have to produce because they just sit there and go, "Feeling good today? Feel better with Aveeno." And you think, that's so fucking easy. And then there's a picture of her taking a nap with her cat with a pink eye mask on. And you're like, that's a half a day of nothing.
Whereas, that's easier than pointing at the sky.
When you do comedy, it's always like, we got to write this. We got to clear this. We got to make this. Later. I'm not going to, it's got to be funny or I'm going to look stupid or whatever it is. She's just hammering those checks and it's all that's what she looks like.
Yeah, I think there's some smart water in there, some airlines. Yeah.
She's a talented person who's making a lot of money with her looks as well.
Sure, of course.
So what's the big... And here's the deal with the whole... are you pregnant? We'll know in a few months, right? Like, we can tell.
We'll do the math in 4 months.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Does she need to... why does she need to lash out?
You know, we were talking about analog earlier. I thought it was kind of interesting because if she's not on Twitter or Facebook or anything, then she's managed to sort of insulate herself to a certain degree, which is probably great for her. But she still sees, you know, her own face at the checkout counter, assuming she's doing her grocery shopping. And... she's probably just had enough of hearing about herself and felt like it was finally something, you know, it was time to say something as opposed to one of us who would just tweet, I'm so sick of everybody. She doesn't have that platform, so she wanted to write a couple of paragraphs.
But the great thing about not being on social media and being, it's a rich man, poor man thing, just go up to your Malibu estate, go through the gate, just chillax in a big tub of Aveeno, you know, like
just that sounds good.
It doesn't matter. Like, everyone's always talking about everyone. Let the little people, you know, haggle down in the village. Like, what do you care? Just go up to the castle, Malibu, yeah, and have stare in the mirror naked.
Well, they post these, you know, is it telescopic lenses?
Mm-hmm. Telephoto, yeah.
You know, right?
Yeah.
So you know, of her on a surfboard with a stomach, and so it's, you know, it's like she's trying, but
she
can't escape it, I guess.
Listen, I'm not one of these. I don't want to be a hypocrite, which is I don't like it when they go, look, you signed up to be a celebrity, so why can't photographers go through your garbage can? And it's like, well, because it should be illegal. Like, it's illegal for other people, or like, why can't we just film you without your consent when you're walking through LAX and then put it up on TMZ, a show that runs commercials, and you don't get any profit participation, you don't sign a release, you don't do anything. It's like, how's that legal? Yeah. Well, you're a celebrity. And the whole deal is like, all right, well, then you should get an extra garbage man. Like, we talked about the $5 million, $50 million. Yeah. Like, all right, then where's my perks? Like,
yeah.
So if a celebrity gets pulled over for drunk driving, then he's still going to get pulled in.
Sure.
Well, but,
yeah.
Well, more or less, probably even more or less. It kind of depends who the cop is. There's some cops, probably more chance you're getting.
Maybe not if you call them sugar tits, but in general, yes.
Always go with monkey nipples for that one reason. Yeah. But, I feel that part where it's like, look, you shouldn't be able to just film Alec Baldwin walking through the airport and then sell it, like, without him consenting, because this is a money transaction going on, and it's his image. I can't use Alec Baldwin's image to sell a watch. I can't put a cardboard picture of Alec Baldwin with my watch on it and then put it in front of my store. Somebody's going to tell me to take it down. So I feel that part, but this part is like, look, you're female, you've been trading on your looks for 25 years, also talented, but also a look. You have people
gorgeous,
doing the hairdos and everything like that.
The
and
Rachel.
You're doing commercials for skin creams and water and everything. There are lots of close-ups and glamour shots, and this is going to go along with that. A little bit of this goes that along with that. That's fine.
I've thought for a few years, and I'm actually wondering how both of you feel about it, that if a paparazzi takes a picture of you and sells it, that they should have to split the money with the subject of the picture. And it's the principle of the thing, really.
Well, I think any time anybody is making money off of somebody else's likeness or product or anything, I don't think it's dramatically different than if Mary's got an apple stand and somebody just grabs a couple, walks them over to Harvey Levin, and Harvey Levin gives them $5 and be like, those aren't yours.
Right.
You gotta pay me. Mm-hmm. You can pay me $4 for those and then maybe sell them for five, or you can sell them for five and we can each get $2.50, or we can work something out. But first thing you need is my permission to take the apples and walk them across the street.
Right. Well, up to a certain point with celebrities who aren't the level of Jennifer Aniston, there is a bunch of that. Like, they call up, the publicist calls up and says, whoever it is going to be shopping, is going to be out in the park, is going to be, and then they come out, and then they don't get money, but they get
exposure.
Oh, yeah, there's
so
both sides of it.
It's only when they get over the top, and then they don't need it anymore.
That's a great point.
Right? It's that crazy tug of war that you're alluding to, where it's like, please cover my client, please cover my client, please, attention, please put him in your magazine, please stop covering, please leave me alone.
Privacy.
It's that tipping point when it becomes too much. And you want it both ways. At a certain point in the career, you want it one way. At a certain point in the career, you want it the other way.
But the one thing is all the airlines have the manifest. Somebody has access to it, and they will always put it out there to whoever wants to. There's no way. I don't get hounded or anything, but I'll land in Minnesota, and there'll be a guy waiting there with a whole bunch of pictures of death from Family Guy or Man Show stuff, just a big stack of it. And he's just waiting for me to show up and sign his stuff that he can then go home and sell on the internet. Right. He's probably not there days I'm not there.
Makes sense.
Makes sense. What's your man hoping to God Jimmy Kimmel or Seth MacFarlane get off that plane?
Today's the day!
Yeah.
That was an interview with Mary Roach back in 2016. Thanks, Gio, for digging that one up. We got another clip for you guys, but first off, this episode is sponsored by ButcherBox. They have great 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, heritage breed pork, and wild-caught seafood delivered right to your door. It's so perfect. It's so convenient. And when you become a member, you join a community that cares about animals and the livelihoods of farmers and treating our planet with respect. And the average cost of ButcherBox is less than $6 a meal. And they have options to fit your needs, okay? You can cancel anytime, no penalty. You got there are five boxes, four curated box options, and the popular custom box. So you get exactly what you and your family love. You'll know you'll use it. It's ButcherBox, and for a limited time, new members can get six free grass-fed, grass-finished steaks when they go to butcherbox.com/Adam. That's two New York strips and four top sirloin steaks added to your first box for free when you go to butcherbox.com/Adam. Act quickly. This offer is only good through Cyber Monday. So make sure to act quickly. ButcherBox, baby. All right, let's get going with our next clip. This is another, we played some TiVo game earlier this weekend. Why don't we play some more? This is from 2012, and it features Doug Benson, who is kind of the staple to playing the TiVo game, akin to Larry Miller playing the Road Trip.
Yeah, he's like Grim Reaper being associated with death. That's how close Doug Benson is to the TiVo game. He used to play it on the old morning show, Adam Carolla Show 883, Doug Benson, Alison Rose, and Brian Bishop, August of 2012. We played a portion of this episode. It's the one where Adam and Doug riffed about how to improve fencing with different ideas for how to make fencing combat more interesting. This is just the totally topical TiVo trivia time tonight, which we've never played. Check it out.
All right, we got to do some totally topical TiVo trivia.
Oh, no.
Now,
let's play totally topical TiVo trivia time today.
All right, so we know how it works. This is an actual description from TiVo minus the celebrities that are in the description of the movie, and what's my name, Pete?
Pete.
You're Pete.
I'm Pete. Pete. Okay, because I don't like the soft A of Adam.
Right, and Allison, that's too many syllables.
I know. I've been Pam, I've been Priscilla, but basically I never really get, I just yell at a certain point because I get tired of not being on the board.
You've never won?
Not this, have I? No.
I don't think so.
Not
who,
this game.
Who was the winner last time that I was on? Do you remember?
No.
Is there a particular grudge match? It's probably Adam. He tends to spoiler on us. He'll like slip in and win on us, even though he's not as much a movie buff.
I won the last time we played, but you could have. The last time I played with you, I don't think I won. Brian probably won.
But I won the Leonard Maltin game the last time we played.
That's right.
Doug loves movies.
Yes.
You did a great job.
Thank you.
All right.
Sorry, Brian.
All right, I'm Pete. Here we go.
All right, first to five wins. Buzz in with your name.
First to five?
A Cuban immigrant.
Pete.
Pete.
We heard Pete?
Yeah.
Scarface.
From 1983.
Oh! I just saw that in clips on Breaking Bad. Spoiler alert.
Better check the tape on that one.
Oh, you think you got in there?
Playing under...
I'll turn my mic up.
He's playing under protest. Oh.
Man. Brian plays to win.
I know. He's very serious about shit that... that really has no bearing in his life, and then ignores the important things. But again, that's how he chooses to live his life. All right, here we go.
A well-to-do white family takes in a homeless black
Doug.
Doug.
Pete. Doug got in first, but I 6 degrees of separation?
And helps him actually, Pete.
What's that?
Do you want to buzz in, Pete?
I already buzzed in, but I can't think of the Will Smith movie.
We'll continue. And helps him realize his potential on and off the football field.
Doug.
Brian. The Blind Side?
Yeah.
From 2009.
I thought it was that Will Smith movie where he was...
That's what I said. Sort of 6 degrees of separation.
6 degrees, yeah. But it's The Blind Side, yeah.
I can't hear anything.
All right.
A society girl... abandons her haughty fiancé for a penniless artist on the ill-fated ships.
Doug.
Doug.
Titanic.
From 1997.
All right.
A blundering Los Angeles detective and his boss foil a plan to assassinate
Brian. The Naked Gun.
From 1988.
Oh, yeah. What do you got, two, Brian?
And his boss? Yeah,
and
two.
His boss. Yeah, and his boss is weird. Yeah. 2110. Here we go.
To divert attention from a presidential scandal, an advisor, Brian.
Wag the Dog?
From 1997.
Whoa! Wow.
I even knew that one. Oh.
Wow, that was good.
That was really good.
Should have gotten Scarface.
Thank you.
Bowling buddies become involved.
Brian. Pete.
Allison.
Ooh, I heard Brian.
You heard Brian.
Oh, I didn't hear Brian.
Was I was first. Doug. I got Doug. Doug on that.
I was first. Big Lebowski. Well,
we're going
Big Lebowski.
Brian.
Yeah. I can't miss that one.
From 1998, it is the Big Lebowski. That one.
Wow. All right,
we'll let
so
that go.
3, 2, 1, 0. All right.
The heir to a newspaper fortune joins forces with a resort.
Pete. The Green Hornet.
From 2011.
Oh! I didn't even see that shit. I don't know where that shit came from. That's called Touched by God.
Yeah. That was impressive.
Yeah, I didn't even see that fucking movie. I really didn't. It was just some reasoning. Something with the newspaper. Okay.
Members of a bomb disposal unit.
Pete.
Brian.
Pete.
Hurt Locker.
From 2008.
Oh, you son of a bitch!
Who's yelling out the titles?
Yeah, keep yelling them out.
In 1960s Wyoming.
What? Start again?
Wait a second.
In 1960s Wyoming.
Brian.
Brian.
Badlands?
Two cowboys.
Pete.
Oh.
The audience is telling you the answer.
It is Brokeback Mountain.
Let me tell you something. When the Ravens are playing at home and the Steelers are on offense, do you think they all go, shh, Roethlisberger's audibilizing? No, it's called a home crowd advantage, all right? And I have that here. I'm not going to deny it.
That's why every person that is on Jeopardy that's from L.A. wins.
That's right. You guys are my 12th man and one black chick.
That was a very, very convincing argument for cheating.
Thank you.
Yeah, what's the score?
Thank you, man.
What's the
score you ain't right cheating, now? You ain't trying.
What's
that's
where,
the last
the score
thing
at?
My grandfather said before he was shot at a poker game. True story.
I think...
What?
Adam has four?
I got four.
Adam has four, Brian has three, and Doug has two.
Oh, shit.
Let's get ready for my crowd over here.
Oh, we don't even say
I got a lot of work to do. Settle down, everybody.
Allison has zero.
Thank you.
So
please pay me the dignity of embarrassing me.
An old gunslinger.
Doug.
Doug.
Doug, Doug, Doug. Doug. The shootist.
His ex-partner... And a quick draw kid.
Pete.
Brian.
Dorado. Oh,
go whatever. Bounty hunting.
Yeah.
O'Brien.
Oh, True Grit.
In a town called Big Whiskey. Come on, Allison.
I rarely offer
Allison.
Assistance. It's called Fletch.
Big Whiskey.
Fletch.
Young Say Guns. Fletch.
From 1992, it is Unforgiven.
Oh.
It's not Big Whiskey.
All right.
Okay. A mentally impaired man with a violent past leaves the institute.
Doug.
Doug.
Fisher King?
Leaves the institution in which he has lived for many years. And befriends a woman with a young son.
Pete.
Pete.
Sam.
I'm Sam. Sam.
Brian.
Brian.
Sling Blade.
From 1996.
Oh, yeah. Stupid. I should know that. All right. Four. Four. Three.
Two, I think. Two. I think, two? Yeah.
All right. All right. There it is.
A Los Angeles sports agent.
Doug. Pete.
Doug.
Jerry Maguire.
Oh.
From 1996.
What the... Dawson, who's paying your ass? Who's buying those rolling papers, buddy? I was a fucking... Tie goes to the boss. Haven't you fucking heard?
Just making it an exciting game. You're still up.
All right. 4-4-3. I mean, one. Or
thank
zero.
You. Yeah, I won.
A disgraced journalist and an investigator for a security firm probe a...
Brian.
Doug. Brian.
The girl with the dragon tattoo?
From 2011, and for the win.
Paul Bryan, everybody. I never did see that movie.
You just lost to a guy with brain tumor.
Ah, yeah.
Tune in for more totally topical TiVo trivia time. Tomorrow. Or Tuesday.
One of these days, we are actually going to do totally topical TiVo trivia, TV trivia. And I am going to mop the stage
we'll
with
do
you
it.
People.
We'll do it. We'll
That's
do it.
That's a good idea.
I've been saying it for a long time.
Yeah. Because it
but
seemed
no
like
one
only
listens.
Yesterday I was dropping some flying nun logic on your ass.
I know.
So we I can hang. Yeah. I can hang. I got no problems with that. Yeah, the Jerry Maguire thing, I mean, I'd have to really review the tape, but, you know, win's a win.
I got in before you, but, you know, Brian barely got in before me on Dragon Tattoo,
let
so
the baby
congratulations
have his,
to
let
Brian.
The baby have his bottle. That's all I got to say.
It's and what keeps him
fine.
Alive. It keeps
that's
him
right.
alive,
we'll
these
keep
victories,
him going.
So
yeah.
You got to help out.
I don't.
I can hear you guys over these speakers.
I have never seen that movie. I somehow decided I had no interest
Jerry
in that
Maguire?
Movie. The girl with the dragon tattoo.
Was there too much rape or not enough rape for you?
Well, see, my whole thing with rape is...
Finally, we're going to find out.
It's the same approach I have with breakwater, which is I either want to be on the beach not getting raped and enjoying the sun, or out in Rape Village past the breakwater where it's rapes, you know, it's just rapes a-popping. It's a nonstop raping, you know. But I don't want to be in the middle getting pummeled by the surf, you know. So to me,
yeah.
I like a movie with either no rape or one that's dripping with rape, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And this movie just has the wrong amount of rape in it for me. I'm old-fashioned that way. But that's me.
Is there a movie that's all rape all the time?
Ooh.
Have you found it yet?
Well, there is going to be one called Navageddon that has almost none. Yeah, oh yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, the cars don't just kill people.
Oh, no. Yeah.
They have their fun first.
And by the way...
And they're all stick shift.
Let me say this. A few years ago, car seats didn't have massagers or heaters or anything in them. Now they have air conditioning. Imagine in 30 years what they'll have. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yes. We will be taking your rectal temperature when you're in that seat. You know what I mean? That shit is going way beyond just a little massage. Uh-huh. It'll milk you. While
stop
you're
looking
that
at
seat.
Me yeah. while you say that.
No, absolutely. No. Hey, hand of God, true story. I wish I was making this up. I like when people wish they were making things up. I feel like you could if you wanted to, right? Hey, I wish I was lying.
Truth is fucking scary.
Yeah. I wish I was shorter and my dick was smaller. I do. I do.
And that was totally topical TiVo trivia time tonight.
With Lord of the TiVo, Doug Benson.
Yeah, he's good. Back in 2012. All right, we have one more clip for everybody. We're going to keep the movie games going. This time with a Rotten Tomatoes game. Matt Atchity's back. What do we got?
Adam Carolla Show, 1794. Tyler Labine, Matt Atchity, Gina Grant, Brian Bishop. It's the 75th installment of the Rotten Tomatoes game. It's from April of 2016. It's a Jake Gyllenhaal-themed round of the game. Check it out.
All right, Robert.
Yes, how you doing?
New Mexico, what's up?
Oh, not a whole lot, Adam. Listen, I was calling to ask you, what would you rather do, make love to a Victoria's Secret model or a porn star?
There's
a clear answer here.
No, right? I don't think so. Two different pros and cons. Hmm.
Well, my clear answer is Victoria's Secret.
Really?
Not the Olympian?
Yeah,
not
because...
the one whose job it is?
Yeah, I'll tell you why.
She'll want to be there.
Professional, trained professional?
I'll tell you why. The sex is almost compulsory. You're going to make a deposit into the spank bank. Mm-hmm. At this stage.
Okay.
You know what I mean? The sex is...
Oh, this is for future use.
The sex is going to go on for somewhere between 9 and 11 minutes. It's going to be one... You know, it's going to be a brief encounter.
Not
it's
in 11 minutes. Who's the porn star, buddy?
I'm including drinks and introductions and that kind of...
I mean, your parents?
Right, the drive to her house.
Yeah, I'm factoring all this stuff in.
So oh, fast you went back in time.
Going to the florist?
Yeah, the time change. There's, I think there's parts of Denver are what, an hour? Denver's an hour off. I'm factoring all this stuff in. But what I'm saying is this, it's going to be over pretty quickly. And then that's going to be that.
Yeah, that's...
To me... The porn star, the potential porn star, I can watch her go at it on the computer with Ron Jeremy until I'm my dad's age. But to me, the Victoria's Secret, that's the one, because you're going to see her pop up every once in a while. You know, she's going to, at some point, she'll have to marry a celebrity, and then she'll pop up on TMZ. That she hooked up with this guy, or there's some big producer, or somebody, or J.J. Abrams gets divorced and starts dating her, and then right back to the bathroom to make a withdrawal on the spank bank.
She'll probably age better, too. So when she pops up in your future, it'll be a better memory.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A little bit better, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, like I'm saying, like, you know, if you could have got hold of a 19-year-old Heidi Klum just one time, well, that'd be, now... 26 years in your rear view, but you would have gotten a lot of mileage out of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
Do you want to hear my impression of a porn star's answer to everything?
Mm-hmm.
Ask me a yes or no question.
All right. Do you like giving oral sex?
Yeah.
Do you like receiving oral sex?
Yeah.
Have you ever worked with Ron Jeremy?
Yeah.
Have you ever worked with Peter North?
Yeah.
Would you like to work with Adam Carolla?
Yeah.
Would you like Adam to bang you or the Victoria's Secret model? Oh, wait a minute. Adam's confused.
Just say yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good. All right, so both of you then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Brian, you said clear-cut answer, but I'm thinking down the road.
It's a good point. Yeah. I hadn't thought about that.
I'm sorry. I mean, yeah.
And it'd really be about the only time you were excited to go to the mall, because there's a Victoria's Secret store, and if you pass the 8-foot cutout on the piece of foam core that's out front of the Victoria's Secret store, I'd literally just stand there.
Yeah.
Just stand there with, like...
Security might get to you.
And what they would call... What I would call in, like, a leather face. You know, not a full erection, but just what I call leather.
That's right.
You know, just sort of stand there. And then everyone would pass by and be like, not bad, huh?
I want to tell tales out of school. But,
Gather around my knee, children.
Yeah. I don't like to ejaculate and tell, but, yeah.
I'm about to.
Mm-hmm. All right. Last but not least, let's see. Hey, Matt. Caller Matt, 30, Connecticut.
Yeah, hey, Adam, Gina Balls.
Yeah, hey.
Stretchy, how's it going?
Good, man.
So my question is, I got a buddy who's an executive for a bank. Every year he has to take a 2-week mandatory vacation so they can audit all his stuff and go through his computer.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were mandated to take a 2-week vacation, what would you do if you were not allowed to work?
I've realized that for me it's all variety. Like, you know, podcasting and talking and yakking and making funny and all that kind of stuff and interviewing people, it's all good, but then you do too much of it. I don't know. I always look at it's like food. Like, does everyone like Italian food? Yeah. Does everyone like Thai food? Yeah. But if you ate Thai food every night, you'd start getting a little burnt out on it. I realize that I got to go to a construction project. I need to do something. I'm doing my kitchen right now, and it's like, I can't tell you it's fun, but I can't tell you it gets you out of bed. And I realize I go from car project to construction project. And if I stay away from construction, after about a year and a half, I'll find myself just floating into some project, some building project. So For me, I'd probably throw myself into a project.
So there's no like zip lining in Costa Rica and then horseback riding, not that kind of variety.
I was just going to say, you're not going to spend a week down in Catalina with Lynette and the kids.
I don't, it's weird, but I don't have a bunch of free time. And when I do, I have a constant list of things that I need to get to that I'm just dying to get to. And I'm not saying it's fun, it's just satisfying, and I want to get to it, and that's my feeling. I don't know quite how to explain it. I don't have a hammock wiring. Mm. I like to take naps. I like to drink a beer and watch the Super Bowl. And like, it's not that I'm a Mr. Type A running around all the time. I just, if you carved out, when I was at the track all day, I was calling Rob, who was at my house, walking him through all the, what's going on with the kitchen? Did you get the tile samples in? Where's the Caesar stone? Where's the tile for the, do we get a sample for the Caesar stone? The countertop? Mm. You know, where's it? I don't know why I'm so excited about that. I think it drives Lynette insane. But I don't know. I get off on it when people say, yeah, but look at this beautiful vista to like look at. I'm like, yeah, but I can't change that. Mm-hmm. Mm. I can just look at it. All right. Work on a project, Matt.
All right. I'm good. Thanks, Adam.
All right. Let's see. We got the game. Let's play the game. What's the theme?
The theme is in honor of a movie opening this week called Demolition, and it stars Jake Gyllenhaal. So the theme is Jake Gyllenhaal movies.
Mm-hmm. Now,
diverse career.
Yes. Stop. Brian and I were kind of arguing about this, although I'm not sure what we're. I'm not even sure what.
Like you and I argue about anything.
Who took what side? But this Batman versus Superman business is the. Am I insane to say that they're happy with the 170 opening? Not 3 years ago, but now. Like, what was leading into this was, is this is going to be a huge disaster? And then they got 170, and I felt like. Well, they should be happy about it.
They're as happy as they made. They're as happy as they put themselves in a position to be.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a qualified yes. But that movie was supposed to open up the first weekend in May. A couple years ago, that's when it was slated, and then Disney announced that they were going to release Captain America that same weekend, and for about a month, nobody blinked, and then Warner Brothers. Moved, and they didn't move after Captain America. They moved in front of it in the year because my interpretation of that is that Warner Brothers as a distributor knew that they wouldn't equal what Captain America will do at the box office, and they couldn't run the risk of their tentpole movie being second banana to Marvel's tentpole movie for the whole year. At this point, now they get bragging rights to say, oh, we got the biggest opening of the year. We have the biggest comic book opening of all time. They were under a fair amount of risk of not even opening as big as Deadpool,
right?
Which would have been really embarrassing. So they've kind of put themselves in a position where they can claim success, and that's really kind of what Hollywood is all about. So they're happy to be able to say, yes, we were successful.
As bad a movie as everyone says, because I have Brian hates it, but I have heard like some people go, oh no, it's you know, which I guess things like this are going to do. They're going to be polarizing. And by the way, can I say this about Captain America? The rapper Common should take a page out of Captain America's book because that's a name.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you're shooting for the stars. Right, I mean, you can go ahead with Superman or Aquaman or even Spider-Man, but Captain. Yeah. America, bitches.
Yeah.
Like when the guy sat down and said, this Captain America, I like that. That's a name. And like I said, Common the rapper really should get together with that guy.
Lowers expectations.
Who are you opening for? Fair to Midland?
Yeah. MC Ordinary?
Mediocre.
<Yeah.
laughs>
All right. So it's a horrible movie. My son, by the way, my son has seen it twice.
Really?
So it's
well, he's nine.
Well, he's nine, I was going to say.
It's not terrible. I've seen worse movies.
Okay.
Right, put that on the poster. The spectacle is there, but that's kind of all it has going for it, right?
How much horrible accident by the side of the freeway rubbernecking money are they making simply because of the just high volume of discussion?
It's also kind of
how bad it is or weird it is or whatever
it is. Well, not as much as you think because it really dropped this second weekend. The drop in box office is one of the highest drops considering that there's no other competition this past weekend.
Went from so like 170 to 50 something.
Yeah,
or whatever.
It was a 68% drop, which is one of the. Now, there have been larger drops in opening weekend box office, but typically that's with some other competitive film. And there
this
was
is
no,
a plummet.
This was a plummet, and because word of mouth gets out. So, look, the spectacle is there, and there's. It looks good, and there are spectacular fight scenes, but it's got about as much narrative as a Monster Jam. Now, right. Don't get me wrong, Monster Jam could be fun and go to watch, but that's right. About it.
Well, let's play the game.
Okay.
Jake Gyllenhaal movies.
Jake Gyllenhaal movies. All right, so first up, a film from, what year? 2001. One of his early films, one of his early starring roles, he plays a boy who has trouble dealing with the outside world and has to live in a plastic bubble. The movie is Bubble Boy.
All right. Now, this is a comedy.
Oh,
and it was sort of based on the boy in the plastic bubble was John Travolta back in the 70s, like a 70s movie of the week. He went
not
on,
a comedy.
He went on to date and get engaged to the woman who played his mom. In that movie, I do believe, who then died of like ovarian cancer or something. Oh. Like, am I the only one who knows this story?
I don't know it.
Yeah. He, I don't know, was 20 or 21 or whatever, was engaged to or very serious with the woman who played his mom in that movie of the week, and then she died of cancer. And sure? I don't know that shook his psyche a little bit, but I'm going to say.
Has anyone seen this movie?
No.
Oh, I've remember seeing commercials, and then it popped up on cable, and they're like little bits and pieces. It's a lot of stuff you picture him bouncing around a ball, getting hit by semi truck, bouncing one.
Yeah, good stuff.
Let's say he's charming, and it was sort of fun or adorable or something, but obviously the critics didn't like it. But is it 17% didn't like or 42% we didn't like? I say they didn't like it, but there are parts of it that were good enough. It's a stupid comedy. 36%.
Whoa.
I took a wild stab and said 20.
Well, I'm going with half of your answer, Adam. I've never heard of this. It looks terrible. I said 18.
Bubble Boy is rotten at 29%.
Diana Hyland.
You said 37?
36. Diana Hyland, who's 18 years older than he was, did he play his mom in that movie? Yeah. And then she died of cancer like a little while later.
She should have been in the bubble.
They were like engaged. Yeah. She would have got cancer in the bubble.
She died of breast cancer like the next year.
Wow.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Next up, another movie from 2001, considered by many to be a cult classic. This is a film about a high school student who has a dark and eccentric side and starts to possibly discover time travel. The movie is Donnie Darko.
Such a great movie.
I have to imagine you have not seen this, Adam.
No, but everyone says to see it.
It's pretty solid.
Everyone says to see it.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah.
I don't know that you would like it as much as everyone else, but it's a solid movie.
Okay. I'm going to say, geez, whoa, weird one with the critics, though.
Mm-hmm.
Geez, who knows? That could loan it. I'd say the critics liked it because everyone liked it.
Smart movie, too.
Bizarre, yeah. Kind of high concept.
73%.
It's at 82.
It's at 89.
Donnie Darko is certified fresh at 85%.
Whoa! They did like this. They liked
this. This is worth checking out.
I heard about it. They liked it even more in the audience. Audience had it at 80. All right.
All right. Next up, 2005 film set in Wyoming and Texas. The epic love story between two young men. Jake Gyllenhaal co-stars with the late Heath Ledger. The movie is Brokeback Mountain.
Did you see it?
Well, first off, for the record, I am homophobic.
Okay.
Which is not a bad thing. I'm scared of Wolverines as well. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not a bad thing. I have a great respect. What?
Yeah. That's the funniest thing I've ever said.
I am scared. I am. And again, it doesn't mean the Wolverine is a bad animal. I just have a fear of them. In a way, one could say the ultimate respect.
Yeah. The problem may be with you.
It could very well be with me. I will never know.
We'll never know.
We'll never know.
Oh, doctor.
We'll never know. But also, I'm rarely in the mood to be swept away. And again, I'm scared. So I never did see the film.
Oh.
I heard it was good.
It was.
It is a good movie. It could change
your whole perspective.
Listen, I've never seen Personal Best. The pendulum swings both directions. Matt knows what I'm talking about. You guys can Google that. Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a little overrated. I think it gets a little love for being the homosexual angle.
A
lot of good press. I think it's a good movie.
It got a little more love for being sort of progressive. These guys are going out. Everyone's going out on a limb.
Up for a couple of awards.
Okay. Right.
Mainly because Randy Quaid's in it.
And also,
he's great.
Yeah.
He's great. And Anna Faris is in this movie. Yeah.
Also, no reviewer wants to be labeled as scared like me.
That's right.
Homophobic.
No one wants that.
No, so you don't want that label. You don't want to give it down. You want to give it a bad. But I'm just saying, if you're just sort of on the cusp, might as well just give it a thumbs up because we don't want to join Corolla.
Anne Hathaway was great in this.
Shark cage that he built for himself. All right. I'm going to say it was a good movie and the critics gave it some love. For that reason, 89%.
Oh, I said 89 also.
I said 92.
Brokeback Mountain is certified fresh at 87%.
It's the last best picture to crash?
I believe so.
The last best picture I did not see.
Mm-hmm.
Really overrated.
Crash Rush.
All right, next up, 2010 film where Jake Gyllenhaal stars with Sir Ben Kingsley in this adaptation of a video game. The movie is Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time.
Christ.
Perfect score.
Do you feel like there's like one, many celebrities have their one workout movie where they just go, look, here's the deal. The script sucks. Like, everything sucks. But here's the deal. You're going to get a personal trainer. You're going to get shredded. And there's going to be huge billboards of you just wearing, like, just a tight suede vest. And your guns are going to be hanging out. And, like, just going to – and it'll live forever. You can gain 500 pounds. It doesn't matter. That poster will always be hanging in your office. Like, just you and – yeah, I like the way I want that.
Yeah.
Was this? This is probably his with
that's,
that.
That's Adrian Brody in Predators.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. All right. Stay so out. Now, critics didn't love this, but did they hate it? Did they go bad on? I never saw it. I'm going to say they didn't like it. But was it an abortion?
I didn't see it.
41.
Mm. Ooh, this is going to separate the man from the boys because I said 18.
Well, I thought it was going to be much lower, but I gave a few more points for Sir Ben. I said 39.
Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time is rotten at 36%.
Shit.
Oh, boy.
That hurts a lot.
Final movie.
Sir Ben.
Movie from last year where Jake Gyllenhaal stars as a boxer who starts at the top and loses everything and has to fight his way back. The movie is Southpaw.
Did anyone see this?
No. I was going to call
it. No, literally no one saw it.
The Hammer was going to be called Southpaw at some point. Now, I had enough people just say to me, like, oh, I like boxing. I like Jake Gyllenhaal. I like boxing movies. I want to see this boxing movie. And then I had sort of enough people kind of go, you don't have to see it. So that's all I got.
But it does have Rachel McAdams and Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah. And I don't think people said it's a pile. They just were like, you don't need to see it. So now. Yeah. Brian.
I got to go a little bold here.
You got to go a little bold.
I think I fell behind.
Yeah. I think Gina's in the lead, but I think I'm within striking distance.
This is where I always tank.
Eminem originally supposed to be in this movie, so says Gary in the internet. I am going to say that the critics gave it 57.
Shit. I said 51.
I think I went too low. I said 44.
You did go too low. Southpaw is fresh at 60%.
Oh, I just knocked myself out.
I may have.
Well done. It's a good pun.
May have climbed back into this.
I'm not taking credit for that.
Boy, fresh. Now, 60 is the over-under on fresh, right? 59 yeah. is yeah. no 59 fresh, is right?
Rotten. Right.
Damn it.
Yeah, I
should
myself.
Have said rotten instead of no fresh.
Unfresh.
A lot of changes in the last two or three rounds of that game, but Bald Brian bringing up the rear with 41.
No!
Followed by Gina Grad with 39. Ace Man takes the win with 29.
Wow!
Yeah, I had a rough patch in the middle there, but I start climbing back toward the top. That's right.
This game sucks. All right.
It's rotten or fresh.
Reverie. I got a custom sleep system. All right, we'll take a quick break. I should tell everyone Rotten Tomatoes. Go there. Listen to the podcast and also just see what they're saying. It's nice to see Rotten Tomatoes getting into the zeitgeist, you know, mm-hmm. seeing articles.
Oh, I'm starting to hear like on like commercials for movies and like on the radio and stuff.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes says mm-hmm. or it scores a blah, blah, on Rotten yeah. Tomatoes. Like, yeah, it's getting out there.
Getting out there. Good on you. Matt, we'll take you. A quick break. Be right back after this.
The following is fan made.
When Brian said he had news, I thought it was bad. But then he told his secret, and it made me glad. Almost we're celebrating, he was home fornicating. They've been a long time waiting for this little one. Can't wait to see little Baldy baby, little Baldy one, a daughter or son. The Kama Sutra don't have nothing on him. Those improv classes made the magic begin. Like fireworks in December,
thank Britt Savage for sending that in. She's just a fan and a nice, something fun to play for the little Bambino
little
one day.
Baldy baby.
Tyler Labine is here. The Boss is the movie. That's out. It's going to be this Friday, right?
That's this Friday.
Been seeing, that's Melissa McCarthy. You can just, Kristen Bell, Peter Dinklage, Cicely Strong. The Melissa McCarthy really brings... Man, she just delivers.
Yeah.
I mean, she can carry those movies. The movies are good, but she really carries those things.
Yeah. Man. This is no exception. She is a force of nature. Like, I almost feel like tired of saying the same thing about her and Ben and her husband. Like, they're just literally some of the funniest people I've ever met in my life. And they're all from that Groundlings kind of, alum. Huh? Like Kristen Wiig and all them. And they just like, that's what they do. They do that all day, every day. They're just... All day, every day, they're just the funniest people on the planet.
The Hulu,
it's exhausting.
The Hulu show is coming back, season 3, available April 20th on Hulu. Deadbeat. You've seen, God, I must have seen 200 million spots, the outdoor advertising for Deadbeat. Mm-hmm. It was a couple of years back, but I've never seen anything
quite so prevalent.
Hit harder.
Yeah.
Enjoy your mangria, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. It's hard not to. It's very good.
I think you're on Glass 2, right?
Maybe.
Yeah,
it's possible.
Like it.
It's more like class 1.5. Like I was sort of finished.
There's a lot of ice in there.
You got topped off.
There's a lot of ice, lady.
Am I the only one drinking it?
It's for guests.
It's for guests only.
If I did it every day, you know.
What do you do?
You'd have a good time here.
That's true. Yeah,
but much better time
better
here.
Better show. So, Tyler, what part do you play?
I play Mike. I play the, believe it or not, the love interest for Kristen Bell. They gave me a very extensive makeover.
Yeah.
They let me kiss her.
Uh-huh.
That's it. I would like to say among other things, but that was it, really. But
she plays a blind person.
She plays a blind person. Yeah, blind person, devoid of any human emotions as well. Yeah,
good.
She is a very lovely human being to be close to. And if Dax is listening right now, he's probably going to punch me in the face next time. Very, very, very protective husband.
Dax Shepard. Yeah,
yeah. Dax, he's great, though. What a talented, funny guy. But no, I basically play like the love interest, the sort of male lead of the movie. Dinklage is the bad guy. I'm like the good guy who kind of sweeps Kristen off her feet, and I join the big heist in the end of the movie.
And who's Kristen to Melissa McCarthy's character in this?
She's her – initially, before Melissa has her big downfall for white-collar crime, she is her assistant who basically runs the company, like holds the whole thing together, underpaid – you know, sure. Has a lot of qualms with Melissa's character, Michelle, but sticks with her anyway. And then Melissa sort of tries – Michelle, I should call her. She tries to bounce back and really sort of falls flat on her face and ends up living with Kristen Bell and her daughter. And, you know, classic movie sort of plot lines come into play, and they form a new company selling brownies.
Is so she's sort of an Oprah mixed with Martha Stewart type character.
She's more like a tycoon, like a morally rudderless kind of Tony Robbins. She's like a wealth guru, like a self-help wealth guru. But she's a it's a clean joke. God. Keep on reminding myself, she's a real piece of junk. That's what we'll call her. She's a junkie. She's not a junkie. She's a piece of junk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we can say twat.
She's a redeemable twat.
Good.
Yeah.
And so we got Deadbeat. We got the Boss, which is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I was told, telling us off the air about something else that sounds cool.
Yeah. Well, Deadbeat comes back 420.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody's paying attention, it's pretty subtle when I'm laying down. But mm-hmm.
Hitler's birthday.
Hitler's birthday. Thank you. We celebrate that heartily at my house.
Mm-hmm. I'm scared of Hitler.
Big day for me. You're scared of a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That one's coming out. And Cal Penn joined the show this year. So for any stoners who have a discerning taste in stoner comedies, we have added one of the biggest names in stoner comedy to our repertoire.
Not only that, one of the best sounding names to get an engineering degree from.
Cal Penn.
That's right. Where'd you go?
Cal Penn.
Oh, yeah. You are hired.
Tough structural engineering.
You
so pretty
job.
Much top of the heap. Yeah.
But you don't even go any farther. That's pretty damn impressive.
Good school. Good school. Mm-hmm. Good guy. Even better guy, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can get some kind of degree from him himself. I don't know. He might be willing to hand those out.
So,
but yeah.
And then there's a third project.
Yeah. We went to WonderCon last week I can't remember what day, but we announced that with Netflix and DreamWorks, I'm doing Voltron now. I don't know if you guys remember Voltron, the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I play Hunk. I'm the pilot of the Yellow Lion. The left leg, if you will. The most important of the two legs.
What is Voltron?
Come on, Adam.
I just knew you were going to say. You're such a curmudgeon.
He's asking for the audience.
I have to ask for the audience.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of elderly and women.
That is the new iteation of Voltron. That's me, front and center. Well, not center. Front. Most prominent.
In the foreground.
In the foreground.
Right.
Some may focus on the head, but not me.
Now, is that VO work, then?
It's definitely not. That's not me.
You're not playing
that cartoon. No, I don't transform into a
no.
Anime
but
cartoon.
I don't. You know, it's like I don't know. Like Transformers, there are plenty of roles for folks that are. You know, there's Shia LaBeouf's role, and then there's a guy who's doing the voice of Megatron or whatever.
And this is not motion capture or any of that too. It's a cartoon. It's a real sort of send up of the or callback of the original cartoon, the one that gained popularity in the 80s with kids like me. But they've tried to do it through the years. They've made, you know, new like Voltron force and Voltron vehicle and all these sort of like, oh, I gotta watch how I say this. They attempted to make them and they didn't quite land where they wanted them to.
Mm-hmm.
This is DreamWorks Animation, which is arguably the most among the top two animation studios in the world.
The Cadillac.
Yeah, and Netflix, which is really doing some pretty cool stuff, I think, these days. And they brought it back, and it's like me and Rhys Darby. I don't know if you guys know Rhys from Flight of the Conchords.
Right.
Steven Yeun from Walking Dead. Jeremy Shada from Adventure Time. We've got a whole bunch of people that are not normally voiceover actors that are coming in to do this, and it's lent itself well to the show. There's like a lot of humor.
So that's out when?
That is out June 10th, I think.
All right. So we got The Boss, which is coming up a few days. It's going to be out in theaters on Friday. And then we got June 10th for this, and then April 20th.
Mm-hmm.
That's Deadbeat.
Season 3 for Deadbeat. And I've seen The Boss, and I was really worried about it. I didn't, you know, I was there. We shot a crazy, funny movie, but, you know, you shoot something and then you see something, and it's really good. It's really funny.
Really funny.
Yeah. It's like, it's, and Melissa, like you said, like, I don't. You can't even explain it. She just, like, is a bulldozer of comedy. It's insane.
Just watching her, was it in This Is 40? I'm trying to think when she was in the principal's office.
Yeah, and they just let her go.
And they just let her go. Hmm.
She's talking about kicking him in the throat, drinking the blood.
Oh, you got to watch. Well, first off, underrated Judd Apatow movie.
Okay.
People, I think, were a little hard on it for some reason. It's a good movie.
Okay.
And she has a scene in the principal's office where she just goes off, and you'll you watch it. You'll enjoy it. That's all I'm saying. And Graham Parker's in it. It's the only movie with Graham Parker ever, and I love Graham Parker, not an actor. All right, should we do a little news, Gina Grant?
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grant. News with Gina Grant. Showbiz, Congress, tech news, sports news, world news. Give me news with Gina Grant. Weird shit out of Florida. Sex surveys, Obama. Need news with Gina.
The news with Gina Grad.
First,
DraftKings, baby. Golf's first major coming up this week. You can play, if you like, at DraftKings.com. You pick six golfers before they tee off. Stay under the salary cap and rack up the points for streaks, per hole performance, tournament finishes, and more. Whatever you want to do, outscore the competition and win. Try it out at DraftKings. Look, don't have to be a golf master. Just have a little fun there. DraftKings.com. It's not fantasy as usual. It's DraftKings and whatever else. Well, I wonder if they'll cover the Toyota Celebrity Grand Prix. Well, they certainly have the IndyCar race on there. I'm sure. Anyway, DraftKings. Dawson.
Fantasy golf contests begin when tournaments tee off, and the next one starts Thursday morning, so hurry to DraftKings.com now. Choose your golfers and play for free with promo code Adam. Enter promo code Adam to play for free now only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
He sounds great, doesn't
he? That's amazing.
You should do the voice for the leg of a robot.
Him and I are we're voice twins, I think.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, you're my voice twin, which is rare. Mm-hmm. Rarer than hand twins, I think, even.
That's fantastic.
I don't know gay code again with the hand twins. I'm scared of the folks.
No, don't worry. You're safe on that.
You're frightened. All right, I'm frightened. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, the March Madness continued on Monday night in the NCAA championship game as Villanova beat North Carolina 77-74 with a buzzer-beating three-pointer by Chris Jenkins. What made the play so incredible was that it came right after North Carolina's Marcus Page hit a three-pointer to tie the game at 74 with 4.7 seconds remaining. This is Villanova's second title, first came in 1985, and a little broadcast of the final call.
Into Ryan Archie Diacono, he'll come front court. Works for Jenkins, a three at the hole.
Oh, no. Did you see this?
No, I did not.
I mean, as disinterested as I can be in a game between North Carolina and Villanova, I have skin of the game.
Right. It'll be heartbreak.
Spectacular game. Spectacular finish.
What the?
Buzzer beating three-pointer.
Yeah, we sure.
And then somehow they timed it perfectly, and all the streamers came down at the right. Like, they were like, well, we're not going to bother reviewing this. All the streamers came down. It was a picture made for TV moment.
Who was favorite in that game?
North Carolina, right?
I feel like NC was.
Yeah, because Twitter blew up after this.
By more than 7 points, or no?
I think it was
3-4 points.
I think it was in the 2.5 to 3.5.
So they're not big.
No, it wasn't a crazy.
Villanova was a 2.
Well, can't even. How can it? I mean, I don't want to sound too ignorant here, but if it's a 2-point, if you're a 2-point favorite and you end up winning 72-70, that's a pretty damn close game. That's not, you're not really big favorite, are you?
I don't think the story of the game was the upset. It was the way it ended. Yeah, it was a spectacular buzzer beater.
Yeah.
And before, like Gina said before, the guy from North Carolina had a off-balance, spectacular double pump three-pointer
that
to tie
was be
it
the end.
With 4
yeah.
seconds left. Like, wow, that's the shot of the tournament.
Right.
So, is this field hockey we're talking about?
Yes,
I'm
exactly
lost with this.
Foosball.
Exactly what it is.
I only know lacrosse hockey and field hockey, which is a variation of the ice hockey.
Right. Well, meanwhile, we have some March Madness bracket news because, you know, we had a pool going here at the office.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I think Commissioner Nick has the results on that.
Mm-hmm. Nick's getting everyone going. Using my crystal goblet is the holder of the money and the names.
Yeah, that was the Corolla Digital March Madness kitty.
Yeah. I even threw some fake, some prop money in there to
encourage people.
Yeah, this is the trophy I got for winning the Toyota Grand Prix, I think. Was it a pro or celebrity? Oh, surprise me. Anyway.
Probably both.
Anyway. Well, he only used one, but who won around here?
In second place, we had Gina Grad, who took a lot of goading to play. And in first place, the new groom, Matt Fondelier.
Boom. The least athletic people, least knowledgeable.
It's always the secretary who wins.
Hey, man, there is a reply all email from me saying, no thanks, I don't know how to play, I don't want to ruin this for everyone. Then Nick emailed me back, he goes, come on, if you win, it'll be that much funnier. And I was in.
There you go.
How much did I win?
But you didn't win, right?
No, I won second.
You didn't win.
First loser?
Yeah.
We had, you won 30. It was $10.
I'll take it.
We had a small pool, and Matt took down the big pot with 50. So
nice.
I had the same thing every year with the Super Bowl when they go around and pick a square. Mm-hmm. And I was at Kimmel's house, and I would never bring any money to Kimmel's house because, first off, what good could come of having money?
Only bad.
Only bad. A cockfight could break out.
Sure.
And I could be tossing.
Sure.
I could be making it rain 20s, Like, who knows? I do have this sort of like upside downside sort of thing. Like, I'm going to go in his house. I'm going to drink as much of his beer and eat as much of his food and watch as much of his TV as I possibly can. What would having money
on
me?
You could upset that balance.
That's right.
It's not going to happen.
I could run into someone from high school who I owed money.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I never I'm watching the Super Bowl. What good could come from this?
Someone could say, oh, we ran out of pizza and wings, and who has money?
Yeah, right. Who's going on running? Who's buying? Who's flying? Neither. I have no money. And the other thing, too, is I'm going to get drunk and probably walk home, and I could get rolled. You know what I mean?
You absolutely will get rolled.
But the joke will be on the gangbangers who roll me because I'll have nothing on me. So, but the boxes
stupid
come around.
Some locking you out of thugs.
And it's when he lived by me in the hills.
Sorry.
That's a pretty rough neighborhood.
The Hollywood Hills.
That's Lake Hollywood. That's a reservoir.
Chicken.
Oh. So they came by. He comes by, and he says, pick a square. Cousin Sal, I go, I don't have any money. And, of course, Jimmy throws down $40 and goes, tell him to pick a square. And I won like $1,400.
What?
Hey. Yeah. And now, etiquette. I definitely paid him back his $40.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You didn't give him a little interest?
After that, I may have tucked like another $20. Like into his bra, he was heavier back then.
And just
as a sort of.
So the etiquette being that he gave you the 40 to win the 1400 with, why would you ever give him more than that? That's like when someone buys you a scratch ticket and they're like, hey, if you win, I get half.
But I feel like in Vegas,
why did you give me that? You got to throw him something.
It's good form, but you're under no obligation.
The ground level investment is returned, I think. And then,
okay.
I don't know, Brian.
That's just me.
I don't know if it was you or Gary or someone, but in Vegas, it's like, I'll spot you, but if you win, give me half. And I think that's okay.
That sounds like
Brian.
I offered to do that with Gina. I was like, I'll pay your entrance fee. We'll just split it.
I only won $15.
Quick note about Matt's performance, though. Even though it was a small thing and you didn't have to do that well to win our pool, he picked North Carolina as the champion and had 7 out of 8 Elite Eight teams, which is, I've been doing this since I was 10 and I've never got more than 6. So,
nice.
Well done, Matt.
Yeah. Way to be super lucky.
This is all Greek to me.
All right.
I have no idea.
Well, United Airlines is trying to figure out why one of its flight attendants intentionally opened a plane door and deployed the emergency slide at Houston's Bush Intercontinental Airport.
What?
You can watch a little video as I tell you this. The incident happened around noon on Monday after the flight arrived in Sacramento. Once the plane pulled up to the gate, the flight attendant opened the door, tossed out her bag, and slid down the slide.
Had to pee.
A surveillance camera caught the whole bizarre scene, which most passengers on the plane were unaware of because there was an unrelated medical issue that people were paying attention to at the time. Once she got down the slide, she's seen picking up her bag and just walking away. United Airlines officials and investigators have not yet revealed what led the flight attendant to escape the plane. Since then, she's been removed from her job. I assume this was her big quitting F you.
Well,
interesting.
Okay. People, a couple things. Were this many people going nuts 50 years ago, but we weren't around to film everything?
Yeah, no social media. We didn't know about it. No way to know.
Or are we going nuts sort of at a much higher rate because we're doing a bunch of things that we're not meant to do? Like, we're reading way too many comments about ourselves on a computer every night. And
too many selfies in general.
Not only is there a show called The Walking Dead, but there's a show about the show that takes place after the show. And there's 20 shows that have shows...
after shows.
And a spin-off. Chris Hardwick hosts 20 shows that are about... It's going to be weird. Like, he's going to be talking to his grandkids one day, and he's going, you remember Walking Dead? Oh, yeah, I was ready. Yeah, no, I was. You weren't there, but Grandpa.
Were you on
that
show?
Well, no, I wasn't on the show.
Well, but you mentioned The Walking Dead.
Yeah, that was me.
Would the Walking Dead fans know you?
I'm the guy.
The fans of the show.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But you, big... So you must have been, you were on the show?
No, no. Oh, wait,
but the
show?
The Walking Dead.
No, not the show.
But everyone would know you from the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Walking Dead.
Thanks,
Grandpa. Going crazy.
Yeah, it's huge, man. I go to Comic-Con every year. It's huge. Yeah, it's like, there's too much. There's too many prescription meds.
I think it's a combo of both. I think people have been nuts since the dawn of man. But I think now there is just so much more documented proof that we're nuts.
Yeah.
People are almost encouraged and invited to behave more nuttily.
Yes.
Because you see it, and it's almost a form of celebrity now.
Well,
we're in here talking about a woman who did something insane that someone caught on surveillance.
Yeah.
Now somebody else is going to be inspired.
And the knee-jerk reaction when you see somebody fighting or see something, you know, maybe a medical emergency, used to be to go get involved. Now it's just to whip your phone out and
whip
video
your phone
it.
Out.
Well, this is going to have to go in front of the FAA, right?
Yep.
And if I was the pilot, I would caution him and... I would not have him start his testimony by saying, I opened the cockpit door and, yes, I farted, but.
Hear me out.
I've done that many times before, as many pilots have. It oftentimes happens after you stand up and eating an airline flight. It was a 6-hour flight after all.
And
I gotta believe that had no, first off, even if I had, did I say I farted? What I meant to say is even if I had farted.
Even if I had farted.
Even if I had farted, this is way beyond the pale of professional conduct.
True.
Okay? And yes, I had farted in front of Nancy before. And yes, it turned out to be silent but deadly. And yes, she had a pretty strong reaction to it. But in no way does that justify. Yes.
Yeah.
It's funny you said that, because as soon as I saw that video, I immediately thought, you said there was a medical condition or something going on. I thought, she's squeamish. Something made her. If you guys ever had that instinct where you just got to get out of there, there's just like, it's just something you can't face, you can't handle.
Yeah, but usually there's no slide.
It's called, she had an inflatable.
Thanksgiving at the Corolla's house.
But do you have an inflatable?
I just do a shoulder roll.
Yeah.
Go right through the door, right through the plate glass. Yeah.
But you would deploy the inflatable slide if you had one.
That I've said it a million times. You know, it's like cops pepper spray everyone and they shoot everyone because if you walked around with a taser on one side of your belt, a pistol on the other side, and pepper spray on the back, you'd be pepper spraying
everybody.
I'd be pigeons. I'd just be running around like spraying it into the air.
Yeah.
Jimmy's cousin Sal got one of those tasers and within 45 minutes tased everyone at the man show.
Yeah.
Like, it's impossible.
I had a friend in high school who got a taser and we routinely would tase everybody.
How long could you work? Your workplace has a giant inflatable slide.
Is that a taser you just pulled out?
Yeah, Gina just pulled the taser.
Is that a brass knuckle taser?
Yeah, I carry it wherever I go.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tase knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I do. And see, now my immediate, I do click it a lot.
My reaction to that is, I want to know what that feels like. I want you to.
We're going to have some good pod right here, folks.
The airplane, what I'm saying is the airplane is her workplace.
Yeah.
That's her place of employment. If your place of employment had a giant inflatable slide.
How long until?
If I just set the side door over there, the warehouse, you just pop it open and a giant slide and you get to but you're encouraged to jump. They don't even cautiously slide down. You throw your ass in the air and bounce.
That's how it's used.
Right.
It would never get deflated and rolled back up. I think it would just probably stay out all
the time. I'm just saying, you know, let's not judge so harshly. That is her workspace.
Yep.
You would do the same thing. Mm-hmm.
And that was the Rotten Tomatoes game. Hope you all did well. Thanks again for tuning in to Corolla Classics. If anybody wants to request a clip, email us, classics@adamcorolla.com. Or you can Instagram us. Is that the verb? Find us on Instagram at Giovanni Giorgio, at Chris Loxamana. We're also on Facebook. Just Google us. There's a way to get a hold of us. And before we get out of here, I want to remind everybody once again, if you own or rent your home, of course it can be hard work, but you got to check out Geico because Geico makes it easy. All right, bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote. See how much you could save. Right, Gio?
It's Geico easy.
That's right. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com. Cruella Classics returns tomorrow. We got one more episode for you this Thanksgiving weekend, but you have to subscribe to the Cruella Classics feed. So we'll see you there. And we can't wait to see you for another Sunday show. Thanks again for listening. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Well, then get on.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.